This is PFW in progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. Really, yeah, like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Hopefully that's not what Patriots practice sounded like today. I hope it was more of a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Is that what you're looking for?
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to need this weekend. Big game with Baltimore coming up.
I'll tell you what they don't need this week.
What don't they need?
Motivation.
They don't need it. They've got it.
No.
And where do they get it from?
Last January 10th.
Oh. Is that what is on, is the subject matter in the locker room today?
Yeah. I mean, almost every guy you talk to mentions the beating, and I'm using the words that the players did. They whooped us. We got whacked. We got the beatdown.
You know,
the adjectives I thought were telling.
I was trying to think of the last time prior to that they had such a physical beating. And you probably remember because the game in Tennessee.
Yeah, I know the game you're talking about.
A long time ago,
yeah.
They just got their butts kicked.
Yeah, 2002.
The score wasn't quite as lopsided.
It was 24-7, but a very, very one-sided game. You are absolutely right.
Yep. So, anyway, we're here until 2 o'clock. Paul and Fred, Andy will be here, right?
Yeah, he's going to stop by Bill
at,
I think, 12:15.
Yep.
And then he'll come down. And then I imagine, as Andy would say, Eric will be by.
Well, we got a problem with Eric.
We have a problem with Eric.
Yeah.
What happened?
Apparently,
do tell.
As all our listeners know, he's been,
he's been in a dour mood.
Well, graciously helping out John Rook.
After
our show.
Right.
But he's very upset lately because he feels that there's too many people walking through the studio when he's working.
Oh.
And there's too much noise and people.
And now today's the day that you have to tape
that
segment for All Access.
And he's not getting the respect and people aren't respecting the fact that he's on the air.
Wow. Sucky.
Because when we film our
that's unreal to
when
me,
Andy and I film our All Access thing with Christian Fourier, we need to use the studio for half an hour or so, as long as it takes. And while we do that, Eric goes into
the producer's booth to
do the show until we're done. Well, I guess last week Scott Zolak walked in, and Scott, he has to walk in with a bang no matter where he goes. So he opens the door, hey!
And Eric, he didn't just open the door and go, hey. He said, what the F is going on over there?
Right.
Meaning in here.
Right.
In the studio. And
so, used to do that to me all the time.
Not realizing they were actually on the air at the time.
So Eric was very upset and scolded Scott.
Yeah.
I saw Scott today. Scott's happy about it.
He's still upset. This happened 2 weeks ago, by the way.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Stories.
Not last week.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Zoe wasn't too happy. He asked me who that was.
He wanted to know who that little bald guy was.
That's what he said to me.
And I have some good stories.
I was just happy that someone was asking who the bald guy was, and they weren't talking about me.
I said, who the hell are you talking? I said, we're all bald. So, so now I got to talk Eric down off the ledge because he's refusing to do the show now.
Oh, that's a mature.
He doesn't
definitely a mature response.
Yeah, he doesn't want to help out Rook anymore.
On Wednesdays?
Even tomorrow, Thursday, Rook can't do the show because he's traveling.
Oh, I heard Doc soliciting
we were looking for someone to fill in.
It didn't go well.
Eric demanded I get my own show.
Oh, my God.
Eric won't
do
it. Eric says he's very busy and he doesn't have time. And which could be the case. You know, I don't know. But
well, I will
seems
say
this is all residual facts.
Specifically for Thursday,
yeah.
Eric has an interview set up with Mesko, I believe, for a feature that he needs to write this week, and he's not getting the interview until Thursday.
Right.
So he is going to be busy tomorrow afternoon.
Doc and I booked some big interviews of our own for Patriots.com radio tomorrow. We have Brian Billick coming on, but nobody to interview him as of now.
What's that? Brian Billick?
Brian Billick will be here. Well, not here, but
put him on the show. We'll talk to him in a titular sense.
Of course, Fred referring to an interview that Andy Hart did with Brian Billick once.
Right.
Where he talked about things in a titular sense.
That's right.
Andy giggled. Big shock there.
Anyway, so that's, I don't know where, so Eric may or may not be here. I don't know what's going on.
Well, he's not angry with us, is he?
Well, I just think it's an overall thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the commute really getting me down.
The commute, yeah.
It's just really, really getting
me down. Today was, Jana was late.
Well. You know?
I had to get tires today, this morning, and I specifically made an appointment because they said, if we make an appointment, come in early, we'll get them right on. I still didn't get out of there till 10.
Oh, jeez.
You know,
I got to get tires at some point.
Yeah. I don't know. I went with the original. This is the third set of tires I've had. You know, my car has over 90,000 miles on it.
That's really nothing.
Yeah. And I
went. Caddy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many did it have when you bought it?
It's a 2006. I didn't buy it new.
I know. How many did it have when you bought it, I say?
About 30.
What was the first clue as to the, I didn't think it was new.
It has about 30 when I bought
Albert
it.
Breer here in his new capacity today.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
As NFL Network. A lot of national reporters
Wendy,
here today.
Wendy's
Wendy
in the
was
house.
Here.
Well, we've got the A-list for CBS covering the game.
Absolutely.
Jim,
yeah.
Jim Nance.
I heard Phil talking about that last week.
And, you know, every Patriots game is sold out, but there's always some tickets you can find if you need them. You know what? This game is there is not a ticket to be found.
A lot of scrambling going on upstairs.
Really?
People trying to, you know, big clients trying to.
I've basically told people I can't help you.
Yeah, they're not available.
I'm not even bothering to look because I looked a couple weeks ago and they told me there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
A lot of scrambling.
Yeah. So something about this game, I don't know.
Well, the Ravens are a good team.
Yeah.
It's a good early season game, and I think people are taking on the Patriots mindset.
Is it the last 1 o'clock game for a while?
Well, that's part of it, too. Yes. That's another good point.
Yeah,
they had 3 1 o'clock home games to start the season.
Right.
This is the third one.
Right.
From here on in, there aren't very many more home 1 o'clock games, if any.
Yeah, people like the home 1 o'clock games. And, you know, I was
as much as we do.
I was thinking about that. And, you know, the league is, you know, justifiably concerned about people staying home because, you know, it's, you know, the advantages of staying home are starting to outweigh, you know, the excitement of coming to the game. But I'll have to tell you, you know, 1 o'clock games are important. The less 1 o'clock games you have, you know, unless they're playoff games, I think it affects attendance.
We only have one more scheduled 1 o'clock home game, and that's the last game of the year at 1 o'clock, which could change.
Right.
And who wants to sit outside on January 2nd?
Right. You know, I mean, I suppose it could be a huge game.
Yeah, no, it could
with
be.
Playoff
could be
implications
playoff spot,
and all that stuff, but that's certainly not as attractive as an early October or mid-October game against another AFC favorite in Baltimore.
And it's still 60 degrees out during the day, too, which is nice.
Yeah. Hey,
it's been a great October so far.
Strippers just emailed me something interesting.
Stripper.
He just came from his drive-thru at the bank. And the
did you knock over the bank?
No, the tube came back with a receipt and a Chilean minor.
Oh, so. I hear you.
So
they're pulling them out. I heard one an hour this morning.
Yeah, what are we up to now? Like 13, 14?
I
haven't had an update for a while.
I'm very glad that these guys are being rescued, obviously, but I have a feeling something's going to happen. Not bad.
I mean, some.
But that once these guys are all out there and now they're going to become celebrities and they're going to trot them around, you know, to all these talk shows. I got a feeling.
In Chile?
Well, everywhere, probably. All the warts. These guys are minors. You know, they're not like Leonardo DiCaprio that we're rescuing here. And I got a feeling things might go wrong.
It'd be more important if you were rescuing
an
actor.
Well, one of the guys, they already found out, his wife and his girlfriend were there fighting.
I saw that.
You know, so.
I saw that. That's great.
We got 14 out, Paul.
He traded down. Did you hear that? He was supposed to be the 11th person out. I don't know how that this is determined or whatever. And now he's going to be like the 21st person out. So they were joking on Dennis and Callahan saying he traded down. He got a fourth for next year.
Yeah,
and
he's trying to hope one of them leaves.
He's continuing to work on his alibi.
Right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think the girlfriend left.
Yeah. Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
The girlfriend was feeling like she was wasn't going to be respected.
Oh.
You know, of course, you know,
yeah.
you slept with someone else's
right.
husband. But
kind of made your bed there.
Details.
All right. Let's talk about some football here. Deion Branch is here. And
did not see him today, however,
no,
which was unfortunate.
But he had a press conference yesterday after our show. Paul, what did he have to say?
Obviously, happy to be back. Kind of given up on the idea of being back. He said he really thought it was going to happen last year. But
we could have used him last year.
Yeah, he said that he thought he would be back last year, and when it didn't happen, he sort of gave up on that. Matter of fact, he just sold his condo a couple of months ago after having it all that time. So one thing that he said that I thought, from a football perspective, just to correct something that we talked about yesterday, he said that he felt there was quite a bit of change to the offense since he last played in it. So it's not going to necessarily be something that he snaps his fingers and he's good to go. He said there's been a lot of development, a lot of evolution of that offense. And the stuff that he did know and remember, they didn't call yesterday. He kind of laughed about that
right.
At practice. He talked to Tom a lot as they walked out to practice yesterday, that the two of them enjoyed a conversation before the workout began. But he's stressed he's stressed pretty emphatically, I'm not Randy Moss. I'm not trying to be Randy Moss. I didn't try to be Randy Moss when I was here before, and I'm not here to replace him. So for whatever that's worth, don't look at this as a one-for-one swap. It's
right.
not what
I'm
it's
not,
about.
Yep, yep.
He wants to, you know, he said all the Patriots like that. I'm here to contribute to this offense and take advantage of any opportunities that come my way and do the things that they ask of me, and whatever those are, we'll find out. He was very good yesterday. He had that trademark smile that we remember. Deion Branch
is a good guy.
Was always a very good guy to talk to in the locker room. He always had a smile for the cameras and was a very accessible guy.
Now, Belichick is at the podium right now. We're not going to go to him. We'll let Andy's there. So when Andy gets back, he'll fill us in with what Bill had to say.
And Tom returned to his press briefings on Wednesday at his locker.
At his locker.
Which evidently maybe had something to do with Randy Moss now.
Not being there.
Because Moss isn't there, evidently. Branch is there now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but, I mean, for any guy.
Yeah, he always says that it was about winning and losing, and obviously they won.
Yeah.
You know, and he still chose to go back. It was a mess in front of his locker. There's a lot of people there today. But sticking with that theme of the Ravens, first several answers had something to do with the beating that they received in January.
Well, I would imagine that. I mean, that's it. That's the last time you faced these guys, and you guys were humiliated. I mean, it was embarrassing. Even the owner said he doesn't remember being embarrassed at home like that. And they should look at that. That's one game where, you know, I know Bill Belichick says every season's a new season, but that's one where you go back and you look at that game and remind everybody that,
right.
that this is what happened last time, and this is why, and let's make damn sure it doesn't happen again. The question is, you know, last time, I'm pretty sure they were pretty healthy up front. Wilfork might have been. He had
Wilfork was coming off an injury.
Yeah.
And Ty Warren was
a little banged up.
Yeah. Now they were obviously without Welker.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the defense.
Did Warren play?
I'm trying to think. They were undermanned at some in some
I know,
fashion.
They were definitely banged up down the stretch of the season.
Yeah.
Wilfork and Warren.
Yeah.
I think they both played, but. Don't hold me.
In any event, they got pushed around up front.
We did.
And
absolutely.
They can't have that happen again. You know, the Ravens have a big offensive line. I mean, they're built to run the ball, and
they're going to have to throw it though to win the game. They can't. They're not going to. I think it's highly unlikely that they were able to do what they did the last time and just come in here and predominantly run the football and score enough points to win.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And
don't
forget
about all the points that were set up by the defense in that game for Baltimore.
Sure.
You know, everybody remembers the 83-yard run to start
right.
the game, and that was impressive.
But you had the strip sack.
Yeah, the strip sack that followed and an interception that followed, and all of a sudden it's 21-0 on short fields.
Right.
So it wasn't just, you know, the ground and pound.
And the offense ended up, what, scoring how many points? 17 points? Patriots?
Patriots offense, yeah, 14.
14. 14.
33
points.
To 14.
You know, so
the offense was thoroughly ineffective. One of their touchdowns was set up by a bad call by the referee on a punt return.
That's right, yeah.
Which gave them the fumble recovery deep into Baltimore territory. Right.
But as we've seen,
the offense did nothing.
You know, Baltimore's defense, you know, isn't completely invulnerable.
You can throw on.
You can throw on these guys.
You absolutely can throw on.
And if you do that first, maybe then you can run a little bit if you can spread them out. And I think that, you know, in a game like this, I know people are going to laugh at me, maybe even including you, but I think Deion Branch might be able to help in this game, spreading them out.
Why would anybody laugh at that?
Well, because a lot of people say...
Oh, do you mean help more than Moss would?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because that I would have laughed
no.
at. But I fully expect Deion Branch to help in this game.
But, you know, I know he doesn't stretch the field like Randy Moss, but
you need receivers to catch passes.
Right, but you can certainly spread people out just as effectively with Branch as you can with Moss. It's just spreading them out in a different way, that's all. You know, so then it comes down to execution, and I think you know, you've got some guys on this team that you didn't have last year, and Gronkowski and Hernandez, that can catch the ball and do stuff with it afterwards. And I think the Patriots offensively are better equipped right now than they were last year at this time.
I agree.
You know, now, I think people might.
Oh, wait a minute. Last year at this time? No, I don't. I don't agree with that.
Well,
last year,
I mean,
the
last time when they played them.
Without Welker. Yes.
When they played them.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because you only had one guy.
Right.
You had Moss, and that was it.
That was it. You know,
so you have a lot of.
You had Faulk. You don't have Faulk now, but, you know, I think Hernandez and Gronkowski make up for that. And, you know, who knows what Danny Woodhead could do? Little Danny Woodhead. You know, he can.
There's options now that you didn't have last year.
Yeah. So I think I'm encouraged.
And Baltimore, I know Baltimore statistically, the defense looks just as good as ever. It's not. Their secondary is dreadful, and you can throw the football on this team. You still can't run that effectively on them, but you can throw it on them. And they're not causing a lot of turnovers. They're not a high-pressure defense. They haven't had a lot of sacks. They haven't had a lot of turnovers created.
Now, they played the first game of the season against the Jets. They beat the Jets 10-9.
Right.
The Jets were still trying to find that offense, which they found second half of the next week against the Patriots. If Baltimore played the Jets right now, do you think, you know, even if it's in Baltimore, do you think the Jets would beat them this time?
I would give the Jets a better chance, but in Baltimore, I'd probably say Baltimore would win.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't think the Jets would only score 9 points.
No, I don't, but yeah. I think the Baltimore would probably score more than 10. I think Baltimore left a lot of points on the field that night.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, you try to do that. You try to gauge yourself against all these other teams.
What a team's done. And yeah. Baltimore has played a very tough schedule. But if you want to gauge it, I mean, Baltimore lost to Cincinnati, and we saw what the Patriots did to
Which
Cincinnati.
To me is weird, because they always do.
But it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. What is it that Cincinnati has against these guys? I don't know.
Yeah, now they didn't score any points against them, but they
But
still
like
beat
I
them.
Said on our TV show, Bill should put a call out to Ocho Cinco and find out. Because whatever they have, it's working.
I would rather put a call out to someone on defense to find out what they do to completely shut them down.
Yeah.
Because they don't score. It's not like the Ravens giving up big points to the Cincinnati. It was a 15-10 game, I think, and there was that atrocious roughing the passer call that set up the game-winning field goal, if you recall.
I don't remember any of these games. No, I do.
We did talk about that. That's why I said that.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a call right now. On the Ace Ticket Hotline is Eldridge. I don't know. Eldridge from Boston?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good.
Okay. Like your show. I always call in. And yes, I do have a handset because I am a truck driver.
All right.
Hands-free handset.
Okay. Can you give us a horn blow?
Oh, for God's sakes.
A horn blow?
Yeah. There we go. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir. John, the Ravens is ranked 2 in pass defense.
Yeah.
They're ranked number 1 overall in defense.
Yeah. No, statistically, and, they're outstanding. No question.
Yeah. And with Cincinnati got that we don't got, it's better cornerbacks.
I would agree. I would agree with you. Leon Hall and Jonathan Joseph, Pac-Man Jones. Right. I think that's a better group of corners. I agree with you on that.
On that, and I'm looking for my boys to win. I'm hoping like crazy they do win. But
doesn't sound like you're very confident, though.
No, because I'm going to be honest with you. Even with the defense struggling, I figured when we had Moss, we go 11-5. After that trade, I'm looking at 7-9.
Oh, wow.
And my question is, who do y'all think is the best AFC team in the league? And the other question is, Tom's interview comes on Sunday. I saw part of that last night on NFL Channel, and I have to agree with him. To get his feelings, like he said, we're not better without Randy. We are not. And if you believe that, you're crazy. And I believe him.
I think the best AFC teams are – it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and the Jets. Those are your top three teams right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't know who I would put number one yet. Yeah.
You talking about Pittsburgh?
Baltimore, yeah. Pittsburgh, and the Jets. Yeah,
yeah. Those are the top three. If the Patriots can beat Baltimore, I think we're nipping at their heels,
well,
though.
See, the thing is, I think the Patriots are in a conversation. I talked about that yesterday after watching the league. But I think the Patriots are going to win this game because I think it's a bad, bad spot for Baltimore. It's their fourth road game in 6 weeks. Patriots are coming off the bye on the other side of that. So you got a tired, banged-up team coming in to play a team that's rested coming off a bye. That, you know, and a team, by the way, that has won a lot of home games in a row in the regular season. I think that's why the Patriots are favored in the game.
Right, Patriots are favored by three?
By three.
By three? Okay, let me ask you another question.
When I was 14.
The playoff game last year?
Yeah.
When they whooped us?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis came on and said it was easy because he knew all of Brady's audibles. I hope they changed the audibles because they played him 5 years in a row. And he got a whole strip on DVD on Brady now.
Yeah.
Well,
do what the audibles were.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens didn't need any audibles last year to whoop the Patriots. There was no audible that allowed Ray Rice to go 83 yards in the first play of the game.
We were banged up in front a little bit, I think. And like I said, our secondary was atrocious in that game. And when they lost Welcher, I think that's up the air out of everybody.
Well, in that last game, I don't even think the secondary was a factor.
No.
By the time the plays got there, it was already over. It was the front seven of the Patriots.
They never threw the ball. Baltimore didn't throw the
Remember
ball.
Remember Flacco's
game.
Arm?
Four
was
for
hang-
ten.
His arm was hanging by his side. He could barely.
He
lift
had that
his
hip
arm.
Injury. He couldn't move.
Right. He could barely move. He could barely throw. It had nothing to do with their passing in our secondary. It had everything to do with us just getting our asses kicked up front.
Up front, yeah.
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 That's probably why they got rid of Alexander and the left outside linebacker. I forgot they got rid of him, too.
Derek Burgess?
Not Burgess, the other one.
Oh, Pierre Woods?
Pierre Woods, right.
Special
they couldn't hold up to the run at all.
Yeah, I think they thought what we have is better. Those guys were special teamers. Pierre Woods, started to see a little bit of time in 08 till he broke his jaw, but then he didn't really come on in 09. And I think, they added some guys on special teams who they thought were just better on special teams. And then as far as the linebacking position, they felt that, guys like Tully Banacane and Ninkovich were better there too. So, they're not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so it was just a matter of they just weren't good enough anymore.
Yeah. I agree.
One more question. No, I'm finna let go. Do y'all still that question you asked a couple of weeks ago? Do you still trust Bill with the players' overall views on things, keeping players and recruiting players?
I do. I absolutely do.
Yeah, I'll take my chances. Yeah.
Look,
I like
this. I've said this before, Eldridge. I'll say it again. If Bill Belichick was available. Right now, 31 teams would be after him.
Yeah, they probably would be.
For total control of the team.
Total control, I don't know, but I think he'd make a bunch of dumb player moves.
I'm sure he does.
They showed that thing about the 10 worst coaches' decisions, and now they're going to get one about 10 worst player moves, and he could be the first one.
Well,
you don't give up a Hall of Fame. I don't care what the problem was.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, there
wasn't a problem in the locker room.
Over the course of a season, every guy who's in charge of personnel, whether it's the GM or the coach who has total control, has to make, hundreds of personnel decisions. You're not going to hit them all. And I think I like his average. And, I trust him running my team, and I think every other team would, too.
You like his average?
I like his average. I like his batting average. Yeah.
Even though with Seymour... I think the two worst were Seymour, Moss, the two worst of all, Branch.
Yeah.
And Lloyd Lenoir, when he was gone, you got Rodney Harrison back. You got Rodney Harrison took care of that.
Yeah,
know?
Well, that's the thing is I don't necessarily make fun of the moves to let people go. It's the moves to acquire people to replace them. And early on, I think the Patriots did a wonderful job of replacing the talent that they lost. They haven't done as good a job lately, and I think they've made a step toward that in the last 2 years with the draft. I think the 09 and the 10 drafts look like, and it's early. I know I don't want to be doing this too quickly, but I think that they look like they have some players coming out of these two drafts that are going to be adequate replacements for the talent that they replaced.
For some reason, 07 and 08, now I know 07 they used draft picks to get Welker and Moss, but 07 and 08 did not produce...
06, 07, 08.
They did that window there, they didn't produce good draft for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason was, but they just weren't, I don't know, they weren't hitting. But I think...
They were Wheatley and Willi, wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They got very little to show. They have basically one starter or two starters, if you count Merriweather. Merriweather was one pick in 07. Mayo obviously in 08. Gostowski in 06 is not, a kicker. Then you have Wilhite and Wheatley are still on the team, but they're not starters. Wilhite plays a little bit, but yeah, they weren't great. They weren't great.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you a lot, man.
Okay, Aldridge. Safe driving.
All right.
I'm surprised to hear that level of negativity from the fans because I haven't really heard that. Basically, it's kind of the opposite that I've been hearing around around here, around town, reading the emails, kind of gauging things.
I think Aldridge is – there's certain fans and that when you get rid of a Richard Seymour, you get rid of a Randy Moss or a Lawyer Malloy – they don't like that. They don't like that. And I can see that. People still don't think that the Seymour, trade was bad, no matter who they get next year with that draft pick. They don't think that made them worse in 2009.
I will maintain that could have been a better team last year, and I'm disappointed by that.
Yeah. So, but Belichick weighed the reward versus, what he was losing that year, and he made the judgment call. I guess he knew he wasn't going to be here the next year, and so he wanted to get something for him. Now, I gotta say, getting a first round draft pick, especially in today's climate where guys are getting third rounders and no one's giving up first round draft picks, I think you gotta jump at that. I think if the Raiders said we'll give you a second, he wouldn't have done it. It wasn't like the Moss thing where they were going to settle with what the other team was giving them. That was the first. Round opportunity, and he figured he had to grab it.
I have no idea if he would have done it. No idea.
If they only offered it to, I gotta imagine he wouldn't have.
Why?
Because
he clearly decided he wasn't going to be on the team the following year. Let's get something for him.
I know, but
so
you got to wait.
If he thought the most he could get for him was a second rounder,
maybe that's not enough for making your teams take a step back that year. That's what I'm saying. You weigh the reward.
I just have nothing to base that on. That he wouldn't have made that trade.
Well, we'll have to ask him someday when he does his memoirs.
You think he would include us?
No.
So I'll never know.
No. He has very little regard. Little regard for us.
I agree. Nor do I. I would like to. I would definitely love to sit down and talk to him about
the decisions,
a lot
behind
of decisions,
these moves,
and how much he felt was luck, how much was totally planned, how much he, how many things happened as a result of a reaction to what happened. Just the inner workings to me are fascinating sometimes with things like that. It's like when they used to talk about the whole quarterback situation with Brady and Bledsoe,
right?
And both Charlie Weiss and Bill have said many times, when would you have made that move? When would Brady have just been too good in practice for you to keep him on the bench? And they've both said repeatedly, I don't know that it ever would have happened.
It's true.
I don't know that it ever would have happened.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have any idea just how good Tom Brady was.
And you can't know that until he gets in a game.
If they continued to struggle, I know they would have done the same thing that Bill did in Cleveland. Bill would have done it. I know he would have.
Sure.
But I find it very interesting that it wasn't something that was at the top of their agenda.
Well, certainly.
In terms of problems.
They saw something in Brady because he leapfrogged these guys.
No,
and
they knew
the
Brady was, they knew Brady was right. developing
but,
at a very fast
but
rate.
But anyone, now, maybe the coaches do, but any fan, an observer like us who says, oh, I knew from looking at practice that Brady was better than Bledsoe, you're nuts. How could you know that?
People didn't know that. Coaches may have.
They may have.
When they watch film and stuff like that, they say, hey, you know what? This guy, he continues to make these reads quicker and more decisively than Drew does. The coaches may have known
right.
that. Right. Don't tell me
there's this. There's no way we
don't
could
tell me
have.
Average Joe knew that.
Right. There's
and,
no way.
And yes, it was a noticeable difference from Brady his second year. It was a noticeable difference throughout training camp from his rookie
sure.
year. Sure. But not to the point where you're like, this guy's going to be knocking on the door for
Look,
playing time.
Look, we remember what happened when Bledsoe got knocked out of that game. The season was over. I mean, that was it. No, seriously. I mean,
I'm not going to lie. That's what I thought.
This guy's done.
They were 0-2.
Yeah.
I mean, I already thought the season was over anyway.
You know, so.
Looked like much of the same stuff that we saw the year before. They were close and right there and couldn't make the plays.
I mean.
Well, they finally started making the plays because Brady made them.
It couldn't be more of a storybook, you know, the way that it happened. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The ace ticket hotline is 508-543-7482. Thanks, Eldridge, for the call. Bill Belichick is done with his press conference. So that means Andy should be coming pretty soon.
I hope so.
He'll fill us in with what Bill had to say.
I'm hungry. I hope he brings
pizza. And we'll take more of your calls and emails right after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he's rated the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably our mission statement right there.
I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85, so. I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. And then it's John Rook with the playbook. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Got a lot of emails that we're going to get to. Paul, do you want to repeat the rant that you just had off the air?
No, I was saying I went down to tape a segment for All Access this morning.
Yes.
And we were talking about the game, and they asked me who I liked, and I said I liked the Patriots. And I got two very stunned looks from Steve Burton, the host of the show,
right,
and the producer of the show, No right. Socks, who comes right. on our show every once in a while. And I said, guys, I mean, they're favored for a reason. I mean, they are favored in the game. They're supposed to win it. And I got these scoffing looks like I'm out of my mind, you know. And I said, you know, this is like just typical Patriot fan kind of behavior. All right, Andy Hart coming up big.
I took that break too soon.
And I said the whole thing that I just said to you about, it's like they set themselves up so they don't have anything to feel bad about if it doesn't happen. I'm not going to think they're going to beat Baltimore, big, tough Baltimore, because if it doesn't happen, then I'll just be disappointed.
Well, I think a lot of – I said this last week. I think a lot of fans this year, and I think other years too, but, you know, we haven't had to do it, but with the other sports teams, they don't want to put themselves in a position of being,
I just think
of being
that we
disappointed.
Spent, I think people spent – a lot of time in July and August on our show trying to convince Andy and I and Eric, I won't say you, Fred, because you always are a believer, but trying to convince the three of us that this team was better than we were given it credit for, and they were every bit as deserving of a shot in the tournament, quote-unquote, as anybody else. And we sort of
right.
disagreed with that. Well, 5 weeks have gone by, and I think that our listeners that thought that have been so far proven correct, and we have been proven wrong, because I do think the Patriots are every bit worthy of the conversation with the teams that you mentioned, the Pittsburghs, the Jets, and the Baltimores, and there's only what, four or five teams in football right. that only have one loss.
Right.
The Patriots are one of them.
Right.
So, all right, everything that you told me in July and August has happened so far. The Patriots are favored over Baltimore, a supposed favorite. I would certainly put Baltimore in the favorites in the AFC. So why are we raising eyebrows that people think that we're going to win the game?
Yeah.
I think they're going to win the game.
Now, maybe some of our listeners
can answer.
Does that
mean I don't think do I not think Baltimore has a shot? No, I think Baltimore can come in here and win. I know they can. I just
saw them do it. You fully expect the Patriots
to win. But I expect the Patriots to win the game. I think they have a lot more things going for them than Baltimore right now.
Right.
It's a bad spot for Baltimore with four road games in 6 weeks. I think that's a very significant thing early in the season.
Patriots
are coming off a bye, which is a situation that they have been very successful in. 7 wins in a row in that spot with Belichick. I think there's a lot of things in the Patriots' favor in this game. That doesn't mean that if the Patriots win, I'll dismiss it. And it doesn't mean that I'll dismiss Baltimore if they lose. I think both of those teams will be good teams when all is said and done.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Fred.
Turn your mic on, Andy.
Can you turn his mic on there?
It's the a-hole behind the glass.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, boy. Yes, you have to resort to
yeah.
calling him
my
names?
My red light was on.
You were just at Bill Belichick.
Yep.
How was that?
It was good.
Yeah.
Typical, you know, raved about the Ravens and their diversity of talent on both sides of the ball. You'll be happy, Paul. He was asked specifically about the pass defense, the fact that everybody coming into the year thought they didn't have very good secondary. They have the number one pass defense. And he went with, well, I think when you talk about the Ravens, it's overall team defense. He just kind of sidestepped
that
the pass
is
defense.
That's a stunning admission by him.
And I thought the news of the press conference was... He got some Ray Lewis questions. You know,
it's a great answer, though,
kind of Andy
without
Hart,
having
like,
to say that.
15 years in, are you still surprised to see Ray Lewis, blah, blah, blah? And he went back to his old, I still remember Ray when I was at the University of Miami, sitting down, breaking down film with him in preparation for the draft. I believe it was the 96 draft here for the Patriots. And somebody said it was the Patriots pick that he got picked with. It was a trade or something, and the Ravens took him with a Patriots pick. But the important thing is he raved about how good Ray Lewis was at breaking down film, how impressive that session was. Coming off that, Tom Curran said, I believe Lawyer Malloy is another guy you said is one of those rare guys. And Bill said, are there any others? And Bill said, without hesitation, instantaneously, well, Devin McCourty for sure. Right at the tip of his tongue in terms of the other examples were Lawyer Malloy and Ray Lewis as great guys breaking down film when he met them as college prospects. And he said, Devin McCourty told you everything from secondary forward. Told you the nose tackle was doing this, the defensive end was doing this, this guy was doing this. He said it was very impressive. And I thought that for him to offer that, right. Usually when you ask those, he starts to get like squeamish and says, you know, there's a lot of guys over the years. But boom, Devin McCourty for sure was one of those guys. I thought that was a high praise for Devin McCourty.
That's all I need to hear. I'm making reservations for Dallas.
I would. And I'd make reservations for Canton for like 12 years from now for Devin McCourty. Well, I guess it'd be more than 12 because he's 17. Plays 12 years and then. Retired for five.
But seriously, also, that is interesting.
Yeah, I'm always
right off the tip of his tongue.
When he is willing to offer up a current day Patriots player as an example of something very impressive, I always take note of it because I think he hesitates at times to do that, whether it's pressure, being painting himself into a corner, whatever. And he offered up Devin McCourty as one of the more impressive guys breaking down film in that college.
I always ask myself, why? Why is he
telling negative.
Me that?
I'm
Why
positive.
Is he telling me this?
I'm always positive. I think it's a good developing young defense. Devin McCourty's part of that. You don't. You and Fred think the defense stinks and the offense will be fine.
I never said they stink. I said they have to get a lot better. Would you admit that?
And when I said, will they, you said, I don't know.
Well, I don't. I don't know. Do you?
I do.
Okay, good.
They will get better.
Good. I'm glad you have the confidence.
As Ron Borges told me yesterday, and I thought this was a
For
good
once.
Quote. I don't know where he stole the quote from, but experience means you've already made the mistakes. And I think that's what they're doing right now. They're making their mistakes so that later in the year we'll say they've got a little experience under their belt. Now they'll be better because of it. I'm not saying they're great right now, because they're not. Anybody who looks at the numbers know the numbers say
Derek
they're not
Burgess
very good.
Has experience.
Are you going to play the role of Andy?
Yes. That's Thank exactly you. What you do.
When you get old, what happens? You should know firsthand. You lose your abilities to do a lot of things you did when you were younger.
Okay.
Derek Burgess was once good.
Okay.
He just wasn't good when he was here.
All right. Well, I hope that you're right, Andy.
I'm always right.
You know, because that's what we all said at the beginning of the season, that we weren't worried about the offense and the defense. We'll see what happens. Probably going to take them a little time.
Now I'm worried about the offense and not the
Now defense. You're worried about the offense. I think that's misplaced.
You do.
I do.
We'll see.
I do. I think
you got a little Felger in you.
Why?
Yeah, you are. You're being a contrarian.
Why? No, I'm not.
Because everybody's now concerned
I've
about the defense.
I've never seen the offense in its current makeup without Randy Moss. I don't know what these guys are, if they're going to be as good as we think they were for the first month. Not to mention, as I said yesterday, you add in the fact that I think you're counting on a lot of young players who could run out of gas at some point. Aaron Hernandez, if you have, I mean, what's he on pace for? 72 catches? Is that right? Four times before.
Well, didn't we have him at like 65 I mean, before the year?
That's a lot. Yeah, I know, but that's a lot for a guy to just come in and say he's going to be fine through 16 full games. He's not going to hit a wall.
I would expect him to get banged up, too. I think he makes a lot of runs in the open field where I think he's going to be susceptible to a big hit that he doesn't
but even
see coming.
Beyond, well, you mean once people realize he always cuts to the inside?
When he does that, then he'll go to the outside.
But my point is I think he's
injury.
When you make a lot of plays – like he has so far, sooner or later you take a big hit that you don't see coming.
But I'm
and
not even talking
I've also
about
seen him
I'm just talking wear and
appear
tear,
to. But that's doesn't he? Didn't he look like he was dealing with that stuff like all of training camp?
Well, yeah.
Like the wear and tear. Like this is bothering me. That's bothering me.
I just think that's.
I think he's one of those guys that's going to have a lot of nagging injuries.
Another Chilean Mine update. The last guy they just brought out, very upset because he forgot to clock in. So all that time he lost on his paycheck.
We're making chili mind jokes today.
Yeah. Stripper said he went to the bank, you know, the drive through, and the tube came back with his receipt and a Chilean miner.
Now, that's funnier than yours.
Well, the other one was Connor from Ireland.
Oh, yeah, they're from the They're from emailers. Don't blame Fred on this one.
That one's not bad. I don't know if I could do that ride. They'd have to sedate me. 20 minutes in a little, it's the size of a basketball hoop.
Just close your eyes and think about the top.
First of all, would my head fit?
I don't know.
It'd be a tight squeeze.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-543-7482. Let's get to some email, shall we? Anything else from Bill before we go to the emails? No?
General Ravens stuff, respect for how tough they are, well-coached, all that stuff. He joked. Somebody said, you happy or whatever to be preparing for them without Ed Reed? Absolutely.
Yeah. No, he said that yesterday and as well. That
and he also said, somebody said, Zbikowski, what's he doing? Something. And it's different, obviously. Ed Reed's Ed Reed.
Yeah. He said it the other day. He said, you know, there's just something different about that defense without Ed Reed. It's a good thing.
Right.
That's what he said. You know. All right. Let's see. Bill from Moscow.
Oh, one other thing.
Yes.
A lot of talk, obviously, about last year's playoff game, motivation. How quickly do you put that away? He focused, as usual, you know, it's not about the better team. It's about who plays better on Sunday. That's all it is this week, blah, blah, blah. But it led into a discussion of his painful losses. He referenced high school, and he started listing his year at Andover. They lost one game in football and soccer and lacrosse combined. It was to the Brown freshman team in lacrosse. Going back to his high school, they lost one game, St. Francis. He started listing off the losses, and he said, if it means something to you, you remember those. You remember them forever.
Sure you do.
Those losses.
Yeah.
I took from it he had a very successful high school career. He had one loss in every season.
I love that, though, because it shows me that I'm not the only psychotic.
Oh,
But he really emphasized, if it means something to you, it lasts.
Sure. I'll never forget striking out with men on base in the All-Star game for Babe Ruth baseball. Looking, not even swinging. And to this day, that's the one. That's my one baseball moment I want to have back. You know, I want to get up there and.
Mine would be third base playoffs against Brockton, hard shot. Andy throws to first, and oh my God, how far over first did he throw that?
Andy mad
in the street.
Oh God, yeah. I mean,
sucked.
They stick with you, Paul. They all stuck with you, right?
I fortunately didn't have one of those moments in high school.
No.
That I had a really bad individual moment that I went out on?
No.
No. I mean,
I
wish
I... Did you get to play? No, I'm only kidding. I know, Paul. You were a baseball star.
Do I have to throw my Hall of Fame credentials at you again?
No, you don't.
Okay.
Nope. William from Moscow writes
in. You throw that Hall of Fame around pretty loosely.
At the time he got it, you know,
now it's like, I'm a Hall of Famer.
Where's the ring?
BU Baseball Hall of Fame.
They didn't give you a ring? Nothing? Yeah. All right.
Free Miller Lite?
Got a little candy dish.
Yeah.
Did you really?
It was some kind of crystal thing, small thing.
You should bring it in. Put it in your office. Come on, Paul.
Now, why is it that you think I wouldn't do that?
Because we'll make fun of you.
You could keep Flip LaChance in it. That could be his home.
Yeah. There you go.
No thanks.
Speaking of
but
this,
definitely gave up some home runs that I wish I could have back.
Glory days. Did you see Boys of Fall? The documentary,
no.
Kenny Chesney made it about high school football. It was on ESPN a couple weeks ago.
No, I didn't.
I watched it last night. It's really good. It's you might not like it because Parcells is a big part of it.
Huh.
Saban's a big part of it. There's a lot of famous coaches, players. I just thought of it because Aikman was just on a commercial. Aikman's in it. A lot of Sean Payton is a big part of it. It's just very good. It's a combination. They interview some high school kids, players, coaches, but then it's a lot of college and pro coaches and players, and they're remembering and tying it into today. Tony Dungy said his worst moment on a football field. He said, you know, we lost to those Patriots teams so many times, didn't get to go to a Super Bowl. Mine was biggest was sophomore year against, I forgot, Jackson High or something. We hadn't lost to them in so many years, and we lost to them. I didn't play well. That senior class was the first class that didn't beat them all 3 years. That'll stick with me till the day I die. And I find that interesting. How much importance these guys, you know, everybody thinks, and Moss, when he said, you know, football is high school and college, this is a business, I think that plays into it. Because it becomes a business, you're not quite as tied in emotionally as you were
sure
when you're a junior in high school and it's like your whole world.
Yeah.
But I would urge anybody, the Boys of Fall documentary, ESPN, Kenny Chesney, very, very good.
All right. Now let's get to Bill in Moscow's
anything
email.
Else I can think of to interrupt Bill in Moscow?
Probably. Recently started listening to the show in podcast form, and it's good to hear some old-fashioned New England sports bickering from here in Moscow. I have a question I would like you gentlemen to discuss. You have repeated many times that the offense is now weaker after losing Moss, which is logical. Is it possible, however, that the team is now in a better position to develop all of the young offensive talent? Do you think that individual players such as Hernandez, Gronkowski, Edelman, and Tate could be better in December? Oh, no, what did I do here? Could be better December on a Mossless team than they would have been with Moss due to the extra pressure to pick up the slack and adapt on offense. With the league seeming to have a flux year, this is one of the best-case scenarios I've been thinking about. So then he has a second question on the secondary. Is Branch... Oh, this is a secondary question. It's not about the secondary. Is Branch the kind of player who can help teach younger players? I always saw him as a classic Brady-era receiver who was able to execute the offense beautifully, and it would be nice to have him play a Troy Brown-esque role model for the pups now that Mr. Patriot is retired. So, first of all, what do you think about his best-case glass-half-full scenario?
Sure.
I think that's possible. Yeah.
Especially because of Moss and the baggage. Physically, I still think there's a challenge to fill his physical role and skill set, but it's all the baggage that makes that a bigger possibility because these guys get more opportunities. They don't have to listen to him bitching. Brady doesn't have to, it's a theory.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I do agree. Now, the flip side would be just listening to all the receivers. I saw Edelman talking about this yesterday when we were in the locker room. How much they learned from Randy Moss, too. And, they've all talked about that. Now, maybe they're just blowing smoke and giving the guy testimonials on his way out, but I believe it. I think that they've talked about how helpful he's been to the younger guys throughout the time that he's been here. Maybe they're going to lose something in terms of learning.
But they can gain something from Branch.
From playing experience, too.
But also from Branch, because I got to think it's closer to Julian Edelman what Deion Branch has done, seen, and experienced in his career than Randy Moss. This gets back to that whole Ted
Randy
Williams
Moss
thing.
Randy Moss can't teach what he does.
Because a lot
only
of what
he can do
is
it.
A gift.
Right.
And
it's like Ted Williams.
Only he's
going to be treated
that way.
Failed as a batting coach
right.
because he just right. lost patience.
Right. So I think that, and Deion talked about yesterday, when he was here, he got by on athleticism, his ability. And he's learned to break down film and do a better job off the field since then. I think that's only a positive, that he can share that experience with the players.
Speaking of Moss and the effect he has on the sideline, did you catch in the last game, the Vikings-Jets game, when he was on the sideline, he had the whiteboard and he was drawing up some plays for the offensive coordinator?
No.
And the offensive coordinator's got this look on like, should I be listening to him? is this for real? And that's kind of like, wow, you like to see a guy doing that, but it kind of puts you in an awkward position. Should I be like, taking what he's saying and do it, or should I just, what do I do here?
This guy. Now, do you think that has to do specifically because it's a short week and they're trying to get Randy involved and they don't have,
Well, maybe, but
not necessarily that Randy's saying this is what we need to do to get me.
But the look on the coordinator's face was, how much should I be listening to this?
But that's what that team's all about. Yeah. Favre arguing with Childress last year on play calling and decisions. I mean.
Yep.
You reap what you sow there.
One other PS from Bill from Moscow is he wants to know when we're going to start seeing numbers retired. The idea of people wearing 54, 55, or 80 irks me. Spikes in 55 is an effing travesty. Well, if you've listened to this show, Bill, you probably haven't heard it because you haven't been listening long enough. I am for taking numbers out of retirement. I don't think a lot of these numbers shouldn't be retired. Football's a tough sport to be retiring numbers because you need so many of them. You take those numbers out that you just mentioned, and what numbers are guys going to be wearing? Remember, you got 53 guys that you have to give numbers to every year, so you can't be taking numbers out of retirement unless it's like,
Brady.
The pantheon of your team.
Yeah. I would be all for Hall of, if you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you can have your number retired.
And I'll say this, William, think about this. The Green Bay Packers, who have been together since dirt, a lot longer than the Patriots, have less numbers retired than the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
That's
telling.
Yeah.
It is.
That's wrong.
I also just got to throw it in there, Andy. What do you think? 55?
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, no. Let's see.
Although I did have a Hall of Fame voter tell me yesterday that McGinnis is this close to a Hall of Fame worthy candidate.
Really?
Yeah.
See, there you go. And you know what? And maybe that makes sense based on the other guys who are in there, and therein lies the problem.
See, I don't think he'd
be in the Hall of Very Good.
I'm Willie McGinnis, Patriots Hall of Fame, you're in.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
But not the Canton Hall of Fame.
No.
No way. I'm sorry. You know?
Good career.
Robin,
not great.
Robin Marlboro says, I caught CSN and NNE this morning. Doesn't Gary Tangway look like a gay Frank Sinatra in that suit? And Steve D'Ossi is not only starting to look like Burl Ives, but makes the chairs there look like he's wearing them rather than sitting on them.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Tough day for Comcast.
Now, what, Gary does the morning show on Comcast?
Well, I'm sure they rerun something from last night.
Okay. I don't have a big problem with the Moss trade, says Rob. Based on Randy's history, you know things will go bad sooner or later. It's bad for our team, bad for trade value, bad for Randy's job prospects. Bill pulled the trigger, getting it done before all that happened with a bye week to work it out. I'm happy to see Branch come back, especially because Tom wanted him. I think we have a good chance for a winning season and some playoff action. And what do you think of all the media hype about Randy now that he's gone? He was great while he was here, but now that he's gone, they're ripping him up. Who's ripping him up?
The media?
I don't think the media is ripping
really
him up.
No. Heard any ripping.
I think it depends on who you listen
There's
to.
There's one guy who's consistently been ripping Randy Moss up, and he did it before
from
he was
day one.
Yeah,
right. Man, D.O.G. Dog.
No,
that's Mike Felger.
I thought they might have been a little over the top with the effect that he would immediately have on the Vikings. You know, but no, I don't think people are ripping him.
Paul, did you guys discuss the Dion Branch seamless transition system has changed? Not like the Bronco. That whole
yes.
Okay.
Not quite as seamless as maybe we made it out to be yesterday.
Just wanted to
according to Dion.
Right.
Yeah.
And the second part of that was the Ravens played the Broncos. Does that help?
I didn't
the Patriots?
Get to that. I had that. I started to say something about that, and we got sidetracked.
Tom
That's
Brady
interesting
poo-pooed
too.
Poo-pooed that because he said, really, the Broncos don't do a lot of the stuff we do. Some of their calls are the same, but Josh has his own style, and it's a lot different.
Oh.
And then he evolved into a little joke. Maybe they should do some of the stuff we do. And everybody kind of chuckled. No. I love Josh. I'm just kidding.
He goes, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But I thought that was because we always just assume, that's Patriots West out there.
I'll tell you this. From watching it, not as a coach, just as an observer, it looks awfully similar to me.
And he may be what exactly he's poo-pooing. That's kind of a vague.
And I got to be honest with you. I don't see a ton of difference with the Patriots. And I know that they said yesterday it's evolved a lot, and Dion said that, but I see a lot of the same stuff that they do. Now, certainly they never had a guy like Moss the last, that's been in the last 3 years. And they've had an element to their offense that they know they didn't have back then.
Yeah. How much will they retain that element, this whole theory that Brandon Tate is going to fill some sort of role?
Well, like I said yesterday, when you send somebody on a fly pattern, it'll probably be him, you know?
No, but that's my point. How often are we going to see that? How often are we going to see deep balls? Because, I mean, you saw, I don't have the numbers, but Brady would take a chance with Moss a couple times a game where you're talking about a ball that goes through the air
40 yards.
Are we going to see that a couple times a game to Brandon Tate or a couple times a month or... I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer. And he poo-pooed any talk of that today, just saying, I'm just working hard to play football. I heard him say, I'll hand out water if they ask me to or whatever today. So
who?
Tate.
Oh.
So he's, clearly a little
Branch.
Bit fearful.
I was like, did I miss Branch today?
No.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And on it right now is Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Brad.
Got Kevin squared away, so that's a good thing.
Nice.
Don't go easy on him today. He's having a rough day.
Are you having a rough day, Kevin?
Pretty sure that goes for any day that ends in Y for him.
Dealing with a mess back here.
Oh, okay.
It's not his fault, though.
Hey, enjoying this week. It's always fun when you live in Baltimore and they're playing the Patriots. So
what's the mindset there? The fans kind of looking at this as a gravy game. If they can get it, great, but they're kind of expecting to lose based on the start to the season that they've had?
No, you know what? I actually bought a Baltimore Sun for the first time in probably 10 years for a different reason, and I flipped through the sports section, and the writer had exactly what I thought they would be talking about all week, and that was exactly what you brought up early in the show. The Patriots are coming off a bye week, and the headline was, Belichick will work his magic with the off week. In other words, you've given Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for the Ravens. He's going to come up with a winning game plan. And so I think there is some definite some definite qualms. They're very everybody is on cloud nine with their team right now down here. I mean, they can do no wrong. You know, the fan feeling is they're going to do exactly what they did in January to the Patriots. I think the sports writers are looking at it and saying, geez, you know, you're giving Belichick 2 weeks to work on a game plan. We've played, like you said, our fourth road game now. You know, we're getting kind of in the draggy part of the season. You've had 2 months of training camp and five games, and, you know, here we are, you know, going up against a guy that's had 2 weeks to practice. So that's kind of the feelings down here in Maryland.
Okay.
I do think we have one advantage that we did not have last year. And I'm not talking on the defense, obviously. We've done Mr. Green enough in the last 6 months to leave him to go to Denver and wherever. We have I'm talking about Jarvis Green. We've already talked about Jarvis Green and how they ran all over him.
Oh, okay.
And Adelius, and they're both gone, so that's fine.
Okay.
And Wilfork.
And well, Warren, but no, remember they Mayo. Moved No, remember they moved Wilfork to the left end.
And they ran right over him a lot. They got dominated in that game.
And I mean, Fred said it exactly right. 83 yards.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't disagree with that. But they actually ran it a trap block against Wilfork and then blew Jarvis right off the line.
I'm sorry. I thought Vince was a Pro Bowler.
Andy, maybe you remember, in that last game against Baltimore, was Warren and or Wilfork banged up?
Yeah, they both were.
They both played, right?
They both played. But they both had missed time in December. And yeah, I knew one was an ankle, one was...
I knew that. I just didn't know if Warren played.
We ended up moving Wilfork to an end and right to the nose tackle, and they just ran all over us.
And the game was already kind of over at that point anyway.
But anyway, I digress. We have something this year that I think can beat Baltimore, because I've watched enough of their games, obviously, over the years living down here. We can set up in a power run formation and throw out of it.
Yeah.
Because I know we haven't thrown one to Algie Cumpler.
You just can't run out of it.
Well, no, but I'm saying we haven't thrown a ball to Algie Cumpler yet that didn't get called back on a flag. But he's not Stones. You know, I mean, he actually can catch the ball.
He has some yards.
He's got great hands.
At least above average hands.
Exactly. No,
great hands.
Trust me, I've watched him since he came out of college. I was super high on Algie Cumpler.
How do you think he caught 60 passes a year when Michael Vick was throwing him Lord knows where at whatever speed?
Exactly.
1,000 miles an hour at his toes.
Yep. But if we line up in a power run formation with Crumpler, Gronkowski, and Hernandez, we can do so many different options.
No, you're right. You can throw out of that.
We can all of a sudden split them and split Gronk and Hernandez out and make their linebackers spread out, or just go right off a play fake and hit Crumpler or Gronk down the middle or Hernandez in the flat.
Sure.
The one thing we cannot do to Baltimore, and I hope, I know Belichick's a lot smarter than I am, that we don't get into the 5 or 6 screen passes behind the line of scrimmage. That is what Baltimore's linebackers live for, because they are trained to run at the ball. They are downhill running team on defense.
I think you're right. I agree with all of that. And if you remember the first game in the regular season, the one that Welker did play, I don't know if it was the exact lowest output he had, but if it wasn't, it was close
in terms of average per catch
because they tackle. They swarm through the football, and they'll tackle that underneath stuff.
Exactly.
They've always been a good tackling team. Yeah.
And you can't beat Baltimore by going wide. You know, teams try, and that's what Ray Lewis, those big defensive linemen they have are there for a reason. They're to clog the middle, to force the teams wide, and Ray Lewis is running sideline to sideline with nobody putting a hand on him.
And I'll take your three tight end set and throwing out of it, and I'll give you the flip side. I think you can spread out and go, you know, four wides with a single setback and run out of that. I think we saw them have a little success with that in the regular season game. I think Morris had maybe like a 15 or 18 yard touchdown run, just kind of hitting them by surprise.
You can't
run on them if you want to line up with two tight ends and a fullback and try to run at that. You're not gonna win.
And
but you can spread them out and trick them. And that's what teams have had success doing.
You kind of need Falk for that, too. It's too bad.
Well, Danny Woodhead is, you know, he's not Kevin Falk, but he has shown the ability to take those spread formation runs and get 8 yards.
Yeah. I mean, if Ray Lewis catches him,
he'll
be accused of murder for the second time in his life.
I'm not saying Danny Woodhead is Kevin Falk. He's not. But I just think maybe one play a game for a key first down on a 3rd and 10
Ray Lewis
where they're looking for nothing but pass.
He'll launch himself at him. Woodhead will duck and he'll go flying right over him.
I mean, I think that their defensive line does not. Their defensive line does not key on the reads like New England tries to do. Their defensive line is, we're going to take 2 hard steps up field and then look for the ball. And so maybe we can do it, but I don't think you can do draws consistently on them because they stay in their lanes. They're very disciplined defensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, just as a change of pace once in a while, whatever running yards they're going to get in this game, I think, is going to mostly come out of passing formations where they're catching a get, you know, they're gashing Baltimore.
But I would love to see us in the 3 tight end set with Welker and Branch or Tate or whoever's the other wide out, one running back, because that's going to force Baltimore to stay in the 3-4 defense, which means either Hernandez or Gronkowski is going to be one-on-one with a linebacker.
Go ahead, Andy.
I just had to throw a flag. I think you got too many men on the field.
Yeah, ineligible receiver. No. There's an ineligible receiver on the field.
Oh, sorry. One
quarterback
right.
is the sixth guy.
Sorry. One wide receiver. Right. Okay. One wide receiver, the 3 tight ends and a running back. It forces them into either putting a cornerback on Hernandez, which he can muscle up against, and then you're running on him. Or they're going to bring a safety in tight on the box. And now you've got, you know, much better coverage downfield.
That raised Andy's eyebrows.
And yours, too.
No, I was looking at you.
All right. What?
Well, that's even more uncomfortable.
Any offense that involves Gronkowski getting some mismatches, I'm very excited. He's a guy that I want to see elevate his game a step in the post-Moss era. Down the seam, and Brady mentioned him. We got to get Gronkowski can get down the field. We can see if he can make plays down there. You missed him when you did it last time. Do it.
I think he's the guy that can make that play.
Yeah, and against Baltimore's defensive secondary, I think he can.
Look at that pass he caught in Atlanta for a touchdown. Down the seam, over his shoulder.
Yep.
Beautiful catch.
Yep.
I want to see that a couple times every single week. Take a couple plays out of the Moss area. Give those to Gronkowski down the seam. They're not bombs, but they can be consistent 20-yard gains.
Big plays. Yep.
And I am looking forward to 16 and 17 play drives. Ooh. That Brady was engineering in the early aughts.
Okay.
You know, compared to trying to throw it 40 yards. I agree. I think Tate deserves a bomb a game. I don't disagree with that at all. But I think this is a team that is going to be set up to be able to make things happen in 5 and 6 yard gains consistently. And
well, as long as you're 3rd and short, that's what you're looking for, you know.
Yeah.
You got to get those manageable 3rd downs.
And I think I can solve your issue with Thursday with not having John Rook and Eric being AWOL.
What's that?
Bring James back.
Yeah.
The most interesting man in New England can run a show for a couple hours just talking about war and
James,
and
if
security.
You're listening and you want to do the show tomorrow, we're happy
Fans
to
have spoken.
You.
He's experienced working with donkeys, so he'll have no problem with emailers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, have a great time, guys. Thanks
okay,
for
Brad.
The info.
Brad from
Thanks,
the East
Shore.
TG and NJ writes in, what the hell's going on out there? Oh, my God. Paulie sounds like the Homer Fred. Andy sounds like Felger. Fred isn't sounding like a Homer. BB sounds like Gruden. And Squidward, isn't making any sounds at all. Well, at least he's being normal. This season is the most unpredictable yet.
We're morphing.
That 800
like
number,
offense.
I forgot it. I'm sorry.
I don't want to sound like Felger.
Strippers writes in that Finley from the Packers, the tight end, says he's done for the season.
Yeah.
Packers really hit hard.
Merriman's out for the year, too.
Should we trade
Sean
him
Merriman from the Chargers?
Yeah, he's been hurt all year.
He's been hurt.
Oh, I didn't know he was out.
He's officially put on IR.
Wow. Smith, Mankins or Merriman, one last try.
He re-injured himself again last game. And
no, I saw that. Clay Matthews isn't playing, but Rodgers is now. The concussion wasn't that bad.
Oh, Rodgers is going to play in that game?
And Matthews is out.
That hit didn't look right. Did you see the hit that Rodgers got hurt on?
Yeah,
the end of the game?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like the guy kind of intentionally hit him with his head. Like he moved his hands back when he realized he threw, and that kind of thrust his head forward a little bit.
And then he headbutted
him. And it looked like he kind of headbutted him. But
yeah,
they didn't call
him. I don't know.
I don't think it was necessarily a penalty, but it looked funny.
It was weird because he, like you said, he put his hands up.
I mean, I've seen a lot worse than that, a lot less than that called nowadays. I don't think that, I think there are way too many rough in the passer calls. You know how I feel about that.
Interesting week to discuss that. Ravens, Tom Brady, Colin
Well, that's
flags,
when Brad
Ray
was when Brad was talking about the Baltimore Sun and all that stuff. That's where I thought he was going. Like Belichick will weave his magic. I didn't think they were talking about 2 weeks to prepare. I thought, you know, I'll figure out a way to get the key calls at the right times and stuff. Because they hate that. That's it's amazing how quickly that is developed into a real hatred rivalry for teams that haven't really until now. You know, they haven't played each other that much.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's three times in the last year. But before that, it was only like three times in their existence.
Even that other one in 2007 was so unique that that's close enough so that it adds to the history, especially with somebody like Ray Lewis still around.
That was a bizarre game.
He's still chirping it.
A man puts his pants on one leg at a time.
Did you hear his when did he have that rant this year? Did you hear
after the Cincinnati?
Yeah,
it was the exact same.
Oh, I know.
And I was thinking, I literally heard him say that last year in Foxborough.
Yeah, it was
the
after the Cincinnati game. It was the same stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he was right again.
He's always right.
Connor in Ireland says,
"Except for when he killed that guy."
What do you think
That's
of Mr. Kraft's
Perillo.
Comments on the Peabody new CBA being possibly confirmed before the end of the season? Tom Brady commented on Kraft's optimism, saying, "I love to hear that he's optimistic." The quarterback told Gary Williams and Steve Phillips of SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. Brady seemed less optimistic in his comments. Do you think Brady and Mr. Kraft's influential positions on either side of the argument could pose a problem to the organization and team as a whole?
No,
I don't think so.
And I don't think Brady is.
But I do like.
All that
and,
high
and
up.
By the way,
he's an assistant team rep.
Yeah. By the way, Robert Kraft said he'd love to see it done before the end of the year. Kevin Mowey also said similar things. So that is good.
Well,
I like
by the holidays. I believe
Mr. Kraft said he had reason for optimism for it to be. I think everybody would hope it's done.
And Mawai did, too. He said there's a lot of energy and something being put into it right now and by the holidays.
They're taking a run.
By the holidays.
Taking a run. That's good. See, that's, I think that's great news.
I can stay employed.
Yeah. Personally, for us, it's sort of a relief, but it's great news for everybody.
It's also great in that it doesn't sound like the 18-game schedule has to be a part of it. Yeah. They've kind of pushed that off to the side now as a
told you.
You know, we'll agree to on that later or something. Do it right, not do it quickly.
It's not a matter of how soon.
Now, don't
we go do
throwing
it.
This one in our face because Andy and I were very much on
board
with your theory.
That was your
from
best
the start.
Theory ever.
Very much on board with your theory
Without
from
doubt.
The start.
Well,
we're
actually, better than the theory that the offense will be fine.
Why? Just because.
Did you read that whole AP story?
No.
Because I thought the most interesting thing was at the end it started to talk about veterans' benefits and different things they're doing as part of this whole. And
details.
And Mike Dickerkin. Ain't nobody going broke in this game. Ain't nobody going broke.
Well, he's right.
Can you get you one of these with the eyes
Speaking
off?
Of good stories, I might just mention that SI story that's out there circulating right now about the agent.
A lot of pub.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Don't know if I believe every word of it, but, you know, because this guy that wrote it is a little shady to begin with. But
how's he shady?
Well, he's admitting paying players while he was an agent, you know, and now he's trying to clear his name because
he's
was
trying
suspended.
To clear his conscience.
Well, whatever.
He's certainly not going to clear his name.
He's not going to clear his name. He's getting himself in more trouble.
No,
I don't
no.
necessarily
what?
Mean that
his
shady.
Name is worse today than it was
no,
before
I know,
he came
but what
public.
He, what he's saying what he got suspended for, he shouldn't have been suspended for. Okay. And he said no one would believe me unless I
But I thought you
said
meant he had other reasons to be shady other than just
No, I
he's
just,
admitting
no,
to doing
it. I definitely
Yeah,
maybe, I believe every word that he's saying.
Yeah, maybe he's like
he's
Jose
making
Canseco.
His name less by saying.
Well, I think
this.
He's less Jose Canseco because Jose Canseco's shady, and was right.
Yeah, but he was
I
right.
Just think this guy's
Jose Canseco
right.
was trying to capitalize
right.
on it for profit.
Right.
So he had reason to say maybe
also,
some of the things that he's saying aren't
he
true.
He has said a lot of things about a lot of different stuff that people fixate on. He had the names and stuff right, and the idea. There was a lot of stuff he didn't have right. That it would, you know, his whole first book was about how it's good for you, it'll be legalized, and everybody in the world will be using it by
Clements.
This, and there was this whole.
He
but
insists,
even that,
but
that
I'm just saying,
is a side
you
issue.
Know, there's a lot of things that people ignore that he was wrong about.
Right.
Clemens
right.
was, he steadfastly right. defended Clemens.
Can't prove it yet.
Please.
Tom in Canada writes
Alleged.
In, I was going through the facts on the Brett Favre PR disaster lately and have been hearing a lot about a possible suspension, but thought that it might raise some interesting questions. I can see the possible infringement on the side of the photos, which were obviously intended to be private, but But I think that to condemn anything else, text, use of intermediaries for discretion, would be tantamount to saying that cheating on your wife is a violation of NFL policy. I might add that I was not in favor of Big Ben's suspension either. His investigative team revealed through emails that the group of girls involved had specifically targeted Ben that night. The reason the alleged victim never went to court wasn't that she wanted to avoid the public spectacle, but because she knew that Ben's legal team was going to tear her and her story to pieces, but the same reason that he wasn't charged. His bodyguards were police officers, for Christ's sake. The only reason he was disciplined at all was to set an example and demonstrate the seriousness of the allegations. Well, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, and I
he also had a track record of other
issues. I disagree
issues.
With that. I think
there was lots of smoke.
I think there's an element of truth to everything you said about the situation that Roethlisberger got in. And all of that said, he likely did something that went over the line
right
in the very end. And that's what
remember,
he got.
Remember, the NFL had their own suspended. Investigation, too.
That's what he got suspended for.
Yeah.
Okay? Not for any, you know, court trial or anything like that. We all know that that didn't happen. With Favre, I think the key is that it was an employee. And there's an element of harassment there. I mean, it's somewhere, right. it's her workplace.
Right.
You know, and now she's made to feel uncomfortable in her workplace.
But did she feel uncomfortable? I don't know.
I'm not speaking. I'm not speaking for her. I'm just telling you it's wrong.
Because this whole thing was revealed because she gave the pictures to a friend and the friend revealed them. If someone makes an advance at you at work and you don't feel uncomfortable, is it harassment? That's my question.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
So
but it doesn't make what he did is right.
Right. No, you shouldn't do that.
That's only my point.
You know, the rule is don't do it.
I understand. Well, you know, I'm not saying she should be offended by it. I hate when people do that.
Right.
They tell you what you should be offended by. But I understand if she were to have felt threatened by that in her workplace.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if she did or maybe she
didn't.
I mean, clearly she's, you know, a little bit of an outspoken type. She's been in Playboy and all this stuff. Then she probably wasn't offended by it. I don't know.
She wanted it.
You know, if she, you know, it had happened in 2008. We're just finding out about it in 2010.
Right.
Clearly, it wasn't a huge deal to her. People would have known about it before now.
Harry, but I also the other thing he mentioned, cheating on your wife is I forgot how he worded it.
Now you're gonna be against NFL policy.
In terms of having a true personal conduct policy, isn't marriage a contract? It's a legal thing. You file it with your town, or you have a marriage
license.
It's not
against the law.
I didn't say it was against the law, but it's a legal contract. And if somebody wants to have a strict moral conduct policy, personal conduct policy, I think infidelity is an issue. If you really wanted to crack down, I do think that's wrong.
Well, I mean, I think it's wrong.
Now,
I don't think you can suspend someone for
it. Is it not as bad? Obviously, but it's still wrong. It's a black mark.
You're not going to be.
Do you think it's a good thing? Is it a good thing that players go around cheating on their wives? Does that look? Does that make the NFL just shine in its best light?
No, of course not. But
so then it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but you can't.
I didn't say it's suspendable.
Look,
but it
I don't
be
think whether it's the league or the government. Let's stop legislating morality unless it is against the law.
It's 2 days in a row.
Well, but marriage is a legal issue.
Yeah,
in this country.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not
in terms
with you
of benefits
one.
And everything.
Uh-oh. What's going on here?
Well, we're just talking Brett Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre did nothing wrong.
Oh, I didn't say that.
That's what you're saying.
No, it's not.
Yes. You're not trying to be argumentative, but you are.
Oh, did man. I say Brett? I think Brett Favre should be suspended.
We all have blue shirts on.
I just pulled an Andy Gresham to side.
Eric's
throw
here.
Some
yeah, you
on.
Said something totally opposite.
Eric's wearing his denim today. Hi, Eric.
You're wearing your denim, too.
I'm wearing my denim.
Why are you doing that? It's Wednesday.
You know what? I've given
did
up.
Did you not bring your jacket down?
I've just given up.
Have you?
Yeah, sneakers and
did
jeans.
You bring your jacket down?
No.
For what?
Aren't you doing your thing today?
We never
wear
jackets.
No. Oh, I thought you wore jackets on that.
No.
You don't.
We don't do anything jackets. The same every week. It's changed every week, so there is no rule of thumb.
Actually,
actually,
this week we're supposed to both agree on whatever we're talking about.
It's point.
Right.
Dan Roach stopped me and said, good job yelling on All Access.
Eric's here.
Hi, Freddie.
What you been doing?
Practice, yeah. Bill.
Anything good?
No.
You did
doing,
Bill.
You were doing Bill? Too many years working with Andy.
And Bill, we thrust.
Oh, no.
That would be a great porn.
Oh, man.
About the. That would be tremendous.
Patriots porn.
I mean, seriously.
We thrust.
That is. You're on your
Can
A
I
game
say
today.
That on 98.5 today?
Oh, God. Oh, my
Actually,
God.
Actually, go ahead.
That
As I've said in the
me.
past, I could use an office.
That is
Because I could see Felger telling me, you know, how much better they are now without Moss. What is this? And Bill, we thrust?
I don't know. I said,
give me a break.
All right, Eric.
All right. Only Fred Taylor missing from practice.
Okay.
Again today.
So Wheatley, no setback that we know
of? No, not that we know of. He's back out there.
Good.
Talking in the locker room, too.
Good.
Wheatley's always doing that.
Yeah. Clouds. Full pads again.
Cumulus.
Outside. Yeah, actually, there were some cumulus clouds.
So he was
there.
Probably distracted.
Perfect.
Wheatley.
Perfect autumn day for football, Fred.
Yes. Crisp. The leaves are changing.
Leaves are changing.
Would you say that this is the weather the game was meant to be played in?
Well, it happens to be played during this season, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It is. So that's.
I just like to keep it in mind when there's a blizzard and people say, that's the way the game was supposed
to be
played.
You got all those pads on. You don't want it too hot. Too cold is no good.
Perfect football weather. I agree with Eric's characterization.
I mean, all these people.
Tough game played by tough men and tough elements.
There's nothing worse than playing football when it is freezing cold out and it hurts to just grab somebody.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Why are you grabbing?
Why are you grabbing people?
Well, not like what's happening in the NFL these days.
Why are you cupping your hand?
People are grabbing junk in the pileups. Have you heard about that?
Well, that's been going on.
That's been going on as long as there's been football.
Well, I know, but a couple guys.
Is that
guys
big thing now? I haven't heard anything.
Yeah,
about that.
The Titans stuff.
Oh, the Titans.
I assume you're talking about Chuck Cecil leaving those.
Titans have a terrible reputation.
Well, even
right
as a coach, he's a dirty player.
Well,
he flipped off an official.
These guys
are
grabbing more packages.
How many cameras at a stadium? And he decides, I'm just going.
It was some tight pants you got on.
Oh, man.
We're losing control here. Anything else, Eric?
Not
black
really.
Jerseys. Who won those this week?
Well, they were the same as last week because of the bye
week.
Bye week
black jerseys?
No, you don't get bye week
black
jerseys.
They didn't win the bye? That's unfortunate.
No. The guys who had them last week kept them, though.
Yeah, it's cool. 2 weeks in a row you get to win.
Right.
All right. So that's it?
That's
your
pretty
report?
Much it. That's
okay.
Pretty much it.
What's the mood out there? Anything you can detect?
Even keel, I'd say.
Yeah.
Even keel. Not too high, not too low.
Okay. All right.
How did Branch look?
Did all right. They ran the gauntlet drill
today.
They ran the gauntlet drill, so that was.
He didn't seem to be thinking as much as he was cutting.
He doesn't wear any braces or anything, does he?
No. His teeth are fine.
No,
oh,
I meant his
knees.
Didn't he have like the same knee injury for like 6 years running?
Now, Eric,
arthroscopic surgery the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Right?
I got stopped by Scott Zolak.
You got what?
I got stopped by Scott Zolak.
Okay.
He's very upset with you. Because of the way you treated him a couple weeks ago when you were doing Rook's show, you yelled at him and chastised him. Now, you got to remember, this guy's a former.
I might have had a little bit of attitude.
Eric, I might a little bit.
I might have had a little bit of
attitude.
Did
you give him the Sal Pal treatment?
What happened?
Anything you say, ace.
I mean, you know, we're talking about a former player here, an alumni, and you're, you know,
all right.
Yelling at him.
Did he happen to mention that he walked in on the show and just started dropping F-bombs while we were on the air?
Well,
that's some good stories.
Ah,
I just told you what happened. He walked in on the show and started dropping F-bombs while we were on
the air.
Was
he mad at you, or why was he?
No, he walked in, and you guys were filming the point-counterpoint in here.
Yeah.
So I was in there behind the mic.
Yeah.
And he walks in, obviously didn't know what was going on.
Didn't know. Made a mistake.
Made a mistake.
Okay.
Walked in, just saw me behind.
Down his throat.
Well, but I was talking into the mic.
Oh!
I was talking into the mic.
God forbid.
So he walks in.
Eric not what? Finding humor in this.
Not finding humor in it at all.
How long were you planning on keeping that from the jury?
That's good.
He's like badgering Eric.
Right.
Now, should he just assume a radio show is being conducted in the producer's area? Had he walked in here, it's one thing. This
so
is
he didn't
a
know.
Studio.
He didn't
so
know.
He didn't know. No, but generally, if there's somebody talking into a microphone, they're doing so because there's a show going
but
on.
They're only
the
talking to one person.
The, mic anyway.
The producer often talks into
way
the mic.
Way too often on this show.
So you should, when you walk into a radio studio, you should assume that a show is going on, even though there's no on-air light in here to acknowledge that.
There will be in the new Super
So he walks in, sees you guys with all the TV cameras, and says, what the F are they doing back there?
Kidding around.
Yes, but loudly.
Right, loudly.
At the top of his lungs.
And you were talking into the
mic. And I was talking to Rook, and we were making a point about something. Right. So I turned around and stopped and said, hey, Zoe, we're kind of on the air here. And he goes, you're on the air? And I said, yeah, we're on the air.
So
thank you for not swearing.
So I'd appreciate if you give us some peace and quiet.
Right. So then he just sort of buttoned up and was like.
He didn't button up because I saw him. His nipples were basically hanging out. He unbuttons like three buttons on
his. Starting figuratively.
Yes, I know.
So was there anything else that you said to him?
No, that's all I said
to him.
That's
it.
Yeah.
That's all you said.
Yeah. And but like Paul, I acknowledged, it might have had a little bit of attitude to it.
Like everything you say. Generally. Speaking.
See, why not make it
part
of the show?
St. Paul's any day on you.
Why not have some fun with it and say, by the way, that was Scott Zolak throwing the F-bombs around? That,
well, because well, I apologize.
F-bombs better
I apologize for those F bombs you may have heard.
Right.
Because I was I had it up to here with the whole thing in the studio.
Okay, so there's more to this.
So this is your you owe him an apology. You overreacted.
I may have overreacted a little bit.
But
just a little
bit. But now hold on. There is more to this. This is what I'm trying to get at. What are the other things that are making you upset?
Why do you hate Scott Zolak?
No, I don't hate Scott Zolak. I don't even know Scott Zolak.
He hates the situation.
Hate the situation
on Wednesdays. Yes. I believe
you don't like going in there.
No, because it's
very hard to do the show.
So you're not a team player.
No, I think we are team players because we've been allowing this to go on for 6 weeks.
Oh. Who's we?
Now he's allowing you to use the studio.
Oh, so
it's not Fred who's being allowed. It's the you know.
Oh, so this has to do with
Kraft Sports, Productions.
So sure. you hate somebody
and he's
there,
but he's allowing you to use this.
Who do you hate at Kraft Sports Productions?
I don't hate anybody.
Oh,
hate's a strong word, Andy.
But, yeah, but in your case, it's well deserved.
So you think that they should take this thing that Andy and I do elsewhere?
It's disrespectful because
which focus group show is the most popular part of the show?
Well, that's fine, but it doesn't have to be recorded in here.
Well,
is the point?
Well, they've tried a couple other places and it didn't work out.
let's be honest.
Well, the point is, Fred, yes. No one from PFW has ever walked into the Kraft Sports Productions TV studio while they were filming an episode of Patriots Today and conducted an interview with a player.
Best
because
play
why? Because that's inconsiderate.
And
it doesn't, and it's unprofessional, and it doesn't need to be done in that venue.
Oh.
All the reasons why your thing doesn't need to be done in here while we're doing our job.
And who's the you and the your?
KSP.
Fred's thing? Oh, okay, I just wanted to clarify.
It's KSP's production. You guys are part of it, but it's their umbrella production.
I heard both sides.
I mean, that's a
good
point.
I heard both sides, and that's a very, very cogent argument that he brings forth.
Yeah.
And as team players, we've allowed this to go on for 6 weeks now, and it's time to stop.
Stop that. You had it won.
Well, knowing that it's not going to stop, now what? Because they seem to like it. It's, you know, they're getting good reviews. You know, the ratings are up.
Hey, as long as they can look themselves in the mirror and feel good about themselves, that's, you know, that's on their heads.
But I'm worried about you.
You don't have to worry about me.
What's going
to
happen here? Because, you know, today it's yelling at Scott Zolak. Tomorrow it's what? Making a list and coming in.
No, I said I acknowledge Scott had nothing to do with it. If Scott's listening, Scott, we've never met officially, but I apologize for giving you a little bit of attitude. All transferring right. my anger to you, I apologize.
All right.
I apologize 1,000 times to you.
All right, we'll try to sort this out. I got a Flomax moment. We'll be right back after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
I
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had a story of something that happened to me in Seattle. I had a problem in the press box bathroom. Before the game, I went in to, you know, do my business and realized there was no toilet paper. And it's only one stall, so it's not like you could even ask for help. I peeked out and there was no one in there. So I ran out with my pants down around my knees. I've got one hand holding up my pants, but waving my hand in front of the hand dispenser. That wasn't working. Then I saw this like kind of work pylon, and on top of it, sure enough, were three rolls of toilet paper. The problem is it was right by the door. So if I went for that and someone opened the door, I was screwed. But I did it, and I went for it, I grabbed it, and I ran back to the bathroom, and I made it.
Oh, no one came in?
No. Oh. Nobody came in.
Would have been much better had someone come in.
Yeah, but it was harrowing. All right, Henry from Whitefish,
Hank!
Montana says,
is Eric going to be okay? Because they're starting to mill about.
Yeah.
Studio.
Leo, watch yourself around Eric.
Eric's on edge today.
Leo is the sound
I'm actually
guy
not from, on edge today.
From
I was
KSP.
On edge in the last 6 weeks.
Eric does not like the fact that KSP takes the studio away. Does
his
not like
his
it.
Studio away.
Oh, Leo just tickled
him. Nice.
He just tickled Eric.
Crazy Russian. Okay.
The most entertaining thing of the show the last few weeks has been Fred Kirsch's dream story of Gino's unit on the side of his hip. You've played it way too many times, but I still get a kick out of it. Would it be too much to have Fred record a new dream each week?
Well, but the issue is these aren't fake. They're not scripted.
Yeah.
This
is
like
real.
To keep this organic.
You got to keep it organic.
Have you had any dreams lately, Fred?
Thanks for... No, not that... Not Patriot related.
I have one in the works, though.
A dream. You have a dream in the works?
No, I have
DreamWorks.
Some stuff Fred said yesterday I think we can do. We can do a dream.
Oh, what about the day he said, before anybody puts anything in my mouth?
You like that, don't you? Thanks for the great work on the show.
Tom Curran told me mouth has no gender.
Shepherding us through these troubling times. My theory on all this is that there is a way too much analysis about the first few days leading up to the Moss trade. I'd have to believe that this had been in the works for weeks, perhaps since the beginning of the season. I think it's clear Belichick is looking long-term toward making another run at a Super Bowl during the next 4 to 5 years of Brady's career, but knows this is probably not our year. Next year's draft and the current culture of the team is more important to that goal than the productivity he would get out of Moss in the next 12 games, and I'm okay with that. What does scare me a little bit, is that even though this is not the strongest Patriots team we've seen in the Brady era, I can't think of another year with fewer dominant teams emerging after 5 weeks. Any one of 10 to 12 teams will have a chance of winning it this year, and who knows, it could be us. It could have been us, I should say. Not sure probably. We have the tools now, but I'm loving watching this young team mature. So,
that's kind of contradictory, that email, don't you think?
Well,
you don't have a problem with it. If
but
that
you
was,
could but, not but, be able to make a Super Bowl run because of it.
Right. Why? I mean, I don't understand.
Well, he doesn't
basically, you're saying I don't have a problem with anything Bill does.
He doesn't have a problem with Bill thinking that this may not be the year and I'm going to start looking ahead. But now that he knows that there's not a lot of good teams out there, now he's having a second thoughts.
Yeah. Now, I don't.
But he just made the move. He could have had his second thoughts and said, you know what, I was planning on trading him, but I'm not going to.
I think of all the
even
weekends.
Even if you think that he was been thinking of it for 3 or 4 weeks.
Right. But I think of all the weekends, this weekend kind of told you, you know, this is the weekend the Patriots did not play, so we got a chance to watch other games.
Well, because we watched the games. Right. I didn't tell anybody else.
I used that as my around the league 2 weeks ago on our show.
I mean, our emailers have been on this all year. Okay. Who, you know, if not the Patriots, who? That's been the question.
Right.
Our listeners have been talking about this all year. But we finally got a chance to watch some of the other games, and we were like, they're right. There's no dominant teams.
Ross from Glasgow says, don't know if you saw the John Clayton piece last week. Basically, he said that after the Pittsburgh game and the touchdown pass, Flacco was unarguably amongst the elite quarterbacks of the league. I don't know what you guys think, but when I was watching, he was average at best. His rating was only 82 at the end of the game. I know you guys weren't keen on him when he was drafted, but I'm definitely not convinced he is anywhere near elite status.
I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I think he can be.
Mayor. I mean, he's in that
he's close
second
to it.
Tier.
I think he's definitely
can
be, close.
I think he's not elite. Yeah. Not even arguably that he. I mean, there's no chance he's elite right now.
No, but I agree with you. He's in that second tier of guys who are.
All depends
about
on
to,
how you break up your tiers.
I don't know. Any tier that has a lead in it, I think you should throw more touchdowns than interceptions.
Okay, but my question is, who do you consider elite?
Peyton Manning,
Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
Anybody else?
No.
Then he's not in the second tier.
Why?
Because I have guys like Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger.
Matt Schaub.
Okay, so Philip Rivers in a tier that's above Joe Flacco.
Third tier, you're right.
That's why, you know, you might say that some of those other guys are in the first tier.
I think sometimes
I could put him in
the
second tier.
From the second and the third tier back and forth.
Yeah, I like Flacco.
That's the difference. When you're first
I like
tier,
Flacco.
You
don't,
stay there.
I don't love
when
him.
When you're great, you're great. Yeah. You've been stamped great. You stay great.
Great?
Great. But I would
great,
agree with
and then you.
You
get old.
When you throw around terms like elite, I don't think there should be 7-8 guys in that list.
And rings should
not
be.
I don't care about
two.
Rings.
Yeah.
Rings mean nothing.
Rings should be involved, though. No,
not for me. I know that I'm the only one. Everybody else, it's the be all end all. But
based on his win based formula,
I just think
his
so
flawed win based formula.
Championship.
Not so much.
I think in
well,
order.
I mean, I wouldn't put a 3-13 guy in the elite category, but. You know, Dan Marino's pretty elite to me. I mean, I know I'm crazy.
But
like
you have
that.
To be Dan Marino, that type of quarterback, to not have won anything. To
I
be
just
considered.
Don't. It's not
he
not
at least
my
got
be
there.
All end all he, the way it is a lot of
He at least
people.
Got his team to a title game.
Yeah. He did.
We have soap operas on behind Eric these days.
Fred is in Istanbul. Usually he's in Dublin. He says, great work as usual. I completely agree with the fact that we cannot blame Moss for not winning the Super Bowl in his time here, as you might have rightly pointed out several times that he caught what should have been the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, and everything would have looked completely different. While I am a big fan of the Branch trade, I loved him during his years in New England. I am realistic to know that this does not mean we are headed to the Super Bowl. It does not make us a better team talent-wise. And, of course, we do not have the defense of previous years. My question is this. With all this revamping of the team in the last 2 years, do you think that Belichick began the youth process too late, or has the lack of talent and leadership been due to those failed drafts between 06 and 08, where by now core players would have emerged? I have sometimes had the view that Belichick depended heavily on core players like Brewski and Harrison just a season or two too long. Therefore, the transition from a veteran team to a younger team has been so dramatic. Has the transition, in your views, been dramatic? And if so, what are the causes, in your opinion?
I think more the latter. More that the drafts didn't work out as well. I don't think they held on too long to the guys who were stars because those guys were still playing at pretty high level for the most part.
Yeah, I think they had to hold on to them because of the drafts. Yeah. I think it was a cause and effect. I think had they drafted in 06, 07, and 08 the way they did in 01, 02, 03, and 04, they probably wouldn't have held on to guys like Brewski and Harrison, yeah. You know, as long as they did.
Okay. Just a couple emails here about
thing,
Sean Merriman.
You want getting back to the whole thing about Belichick and whether or not he made a decision that it wasn't going to happen this year. Andy, you want to dispel a few myths about that?
No.
No. You don't think that
caught him unawares there?
I was doing the whole. Michael Lombardi interview thing that he had with Bill. You want to dispel a few myths?
When he poo-pooed it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that Bill Belichick makes trades by saying, I'm going to concede this season. I don't think he did that.
No.
I think he felt like, for whatever reason, he had to do it, but I don't think he says, it's not going to happen this year anyway. So
right.
No.
I don't
but
think he looks at
that
way. They're still trying
logic,
to win the
Fred,
Super Bowl.
What?
You didn't like the trade. Using that guy's logic because he said he doesn't think he can win and it's more valuable to get the pick than 12
games
of Moss.
Yeah, if that was his reasoning, I wouldn't say do it. No.
Okay, because 12 games of Moss is more valuable than a third-round pick.
Don from California is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Don.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
All right,
all right then.
What do you got for us, Don?
Don, he's been on hold for like 30
I got for you,
years.
Man. I'm sorry about that, fellas.
Okay.
Now, with Belichick stocking up all these picks that we have next year, do you think that he's going to draft a quarterback that can maybe sit behind Brady for 4 years to learn?
It's certainly a possibility. I'm of the belief that they're going after some of the hot positions in the draft, which would be big wide receivers, big athletic edge players,
running back,
and maybe a running back. Those would be the three targets I would have with those early picks.
I would agree with that.
If so, which quarterback, running back, or wide receiver, at this moment, Ben, as though it's so early in the college, which one would you think Bill will be targeting?
I have no idea.
It's way too early to tell. We haven't done any draft
haven't even
yet.
Peeled back a layer of that at all. At
Had
this
you
point.
Said outside linebacker, I would have said Robert Quinn.
Yeah. And he, by the way, is suspended for the rest of the year. So
I will think just that say, helps the Patriots get him, much like Brandon Spikes
because they'll
a
stay under the radar.
Right. Slow 40.
Right. You know, the running back thing, I think that Andy's right about.
Jordan Todman.
I would say that I'm not a huge Mark Ingram
intended.
Fan. I think he's very, very good college running back. I don't like that style of back. So, you know, whether or not the Patriots agree with me, I don't know. He'll certainly be a very high pick.
Okay. And my last, I just got a statement I want to make to you guys. Now, I like the Branch pick, the pickup that we got with Branch. I just think that if someone hits Branch, like Palomua hits him, it's over. And then we back to square one again. So what is the process with our third round pick, which was, Price?
What do you mean? Well,
like, what's the process going on with the receiver? Like, I'm ready to see when Taylor Price is going to at least catch one pass. Let's see, because he had that one sweet pass in the preseason, which was out of bounds.
Now, I think he was out of bounds kind of on his own there. I think his field awareness, I thought at times in the preseason, was a little bit lacking in game action. But we've said all along, We loved him for like the first week of training camp. We thought he looked pretty polished as a route runner, showed decent hands, good quickness, everything. And then it felt like he hit a rookie wall or he just got overwhelmed. Maybe they moved on and the aspects of the playbook he was comfortable with, kind of the rest of it overwhelmed him. I don't know if that was it, but we've seen nothing since. I mean, before he catches a pass, he needs to be active for a game and step on a game field.
Also, I think Brandon Tate stepped up his game a little bit.
Sure.
So I think that might contribute a little bit to the fact that, well, okay, we don't need to rush this rookie along because Tate is doing it maybe a little bit
but
better
than
me.
But I still thought Price, for whatever it was, 7 days, 10 days, I thought Price looked better than Tate by far in training camp early on.
Yeah, I agree.
I never really got that impression that he was that far ahead. I thought he looked good, but I always thought Tate had more potential.
You don't know where the tight end lines up.
Oh.
All right, I just got one more statement for specifically for you, Andy R.
Yeah, what do you got?
Offensive player of the year, Matthew Slater. Sack, I'm going, you guys.
That's it?
Why is that directed at him?
Matthew Slater, offensive player.
Matthew Slater. I know how Andy is on Matthew Slater. That's why. That was just my joke to you guys.
All right, thanks, man. I thought you were being serious for me. I thought that was your post-Moss weapon.
You should know. I thought that was a Fred Kirsch, like what they're going to do here is Matthew Slater, unleash him.
It's Don from California. A little clarification on the Merriman.
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. That's why he's
Chargers
angry.
Linebacker Sean Merriman is on IR with a minor injury designation, so he must be released by the team when he becomes healthy.
Okay.
How does that work?
Say again?
I don't know what you're talking
about. He has a minor injury designation. So
for injured reserve?
Chargers will release Sean Merriman when he becomes healthy the next 6 weeks after team placed him on reserve injured.
So now... So now that Merriman is put on minor IR, which apparently means that once he's healthy, the Chargers must release him.
Can sign and play for another team this season. After
Adam Schefter was saying that in a few weeks he will be released.
Huh. Yeah.
So that's interesting.
He can't play. So someone might pick him up, but he ain't going to help anyone.
Not even us?
No.
He's got to be better than my mother, and I said I'd sign my mother.
Now I'll take Ninkovich.
We have him already.
Gene's
not comfortable with the depth at outside linebacker. Never mind who can actually play. Boy, Paul sees one game, Ninkovich, couple picks and a sack, and he's like, LT. Ooh, we got LT. We don't need Merriman.
Gene in Daytona Beach by way of Somerset. You and Paul questioned earlier whether Belichick values your opinion. I think he cares about it enough to make it bulletin board material.
That's true.
As far as losing Randy, it is definitely a loss, but I think a balanced offense is harder to defend.
and working down the field with long drives will wear out the opponent's defense and keep ours fresh. Tom can always go to the no huddle and score quickly if he needs to. Pats 35, Ravens 14. And by the way, Andy, in 1962, when Somerset played Dighton Rehoboth in a JV football game, our quarterback was tackled after the fumble and jumped out of the pile screaming that someone bit him in the leg. Sure enough, there were teeth marks in his calf. I put our quarterback out of the game, and Dighton Rehoboth came back to win. Kevin, never underestimate a guy from Dighton Rehoboth.
Who's Kevin?
Wow.
I don't know.
But that, yeah, I mean, the punching people in the nuts is nothing new. Tennessee didn't invent it. It's been around as long as the game's been around.
Yeah, they used to gouge eyes before the face mask.
Tennessee is just developing an absurdly bad reputation.
Actually,
right,
the grabbing sack was the guy from San Francisco. He did it twice. Seriously.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth, I will miss
it. No, from the 49ers.
Oh,
Frisco. Frisco.
Sure it wasn't from Provincetown.
Oh. Elliot in Philly says, I've heard you guys making the argument that there aren't any dominant teams for a while, but how can you not say that the Jets right now are not an elite team? What's their weakness?
Well, I didn't say that they're not an elite team. I said they're not a dominant team. Yeah. There's a difference.
We said that. I said that Baltimore, the Jets, and Pittsburgh are probably your top three teams.
I mean, whoever you deem it to be, somebody is the best team in the league.
Right.
You
doesn't
know,
mean they're elite, though.
But doesn't mean they're elite. I agree.
And it also doesn't mean they're going to be the best team in the league in December. Some of this is predicting where you think the team will evolve into.
I'll give you
and we all think the Jets are immature and at some point could implode because of any number of things.
Tell me if you guys disagree with this, but I think the 2003 Patriots were an elite team. I think the 2004 Patriots were a dominant team.
Sure.
Based on their defense.
They both went 14-2, and they both won the Super Bowl. The 2003 team was life and death with everybody. Mm. The 2004 team blew everybody out.
To me, when you say elite team or whatever, you're talking about a team that could play in any season. This year, a team is going to win the Super Bowl. A couple teams will make their title games. Doesn't mean you would say, wow, you know, that they compare
to any
team
they
in the last decade.
They can stack up.
I think it's going to be the exact opposite. You're going
to
say,
I think you can be elite without being dominant.
They won the Super Bowl on a down year for the league.
Lyndon from
Colton. Did you see UFL, by the way, also touting their parity? If a couple teams lose this week, all teams will be 2-2, seeking the
all five of them.
The release said like if showing the dominance of parity or something.
If only you spent this amount of time pouring over our stuff.
I'm sorry that I tried to be well.
No, we're not pouring over it. They're sending it to us.
I try to be well versed, so he's reading all. I get them all too. I delete them.
I'm just trying to stay up to date, Fred. I'm sorry. I thought my job was to cover football.
We keep up with our Revs communications too.
What?
We keep up with our Revs communications.
Yeah.
We're on top of it.
And Sally's back.
Next year is going to be exciting for the UFL. They'll have six teams because the Virginia, whatever they chose for a name.
That I believe still doesn't even have an owner. Imagine that. You're a team, but you don't have an owner or a name.
And I think Theismann is going to be involved in the...
Oh, geez. That'll be a clown.
Theismann?
Yeah.
Lyndon writes in, today a caller mentioned that the Pats shouldn't throw screen passes against Baltimore because of the way they attack the ball.
That was Brad in Baltimore.
Eastern Shore, right. Yeah. I wonder if the Pats could have some success faking a bubble screen like the one they scored in on week one with Welker, Gronk, and Crumpler lined up trips left and hitting a tight end with a long pass. What do you guys think? Also, do you guys know what Woodhead's height and weight is? He's listed on several websites as 5'9", 200. During the Miami game, I believe they said he was 5'7", 180.
That's more like it.
Yeah, and what's the story on Taylor Price? Can we expect to see him on the field anytime soon?
Sure.
I don't think he'll be active Sunday.
Well,
I don't
think so. But at some point, he's going to be on the field.
Yeah,
maybe.
To injury, or he wouldn't be on the roster. If Bill thought there was no chance, he'd be on IR right now.
I agree. I think that, if guys get hurt Sunday, then soon. If not, I don't think he will be.
A bunch of little banged up receivers.
Okay.
Injury history.
Who's banged up?
Well,
I said only Taylor was
those
missing.
Guys
Fred
have
Taylor.
Knee injuries every year.
Welker had one major knee.
Poor guy missed one game.
Blows out an ACL, misses one game, and I've labeled him knee injuries every year.
Sam in Chicago, look. Deion Branch will be a great locker room presence. He'll be a sane presence on a plane ride home after a win-loss and provide some leadership to the young receiving core. Watching Randy grabbing two Vikings offensive coordinators and making them look at some plan he was drawing up was proof enough that he's a negative vacuum. You could see the Vikings guys were trying to watch the game, but Randy kept tapping them on the shoulder and pointing to the whiteboard he was drawing up. One less Randy touchdown per game is worth the removal of the instability Moss brings to a team. The team will step up and thrive without him. I'm not expecting anything great numbers-wise from Branch, but I'm also not expecting he'll take anything away from the team. Randy's ego and mouth already did that. Thank you for your service, Randy. So that's Sam in Chicago. Can't argue with her.
Sam.
She knows him. What she's talking about.
Or him.
Huh?
You know better than that. I can argue with anything.
Doesn't even have to try.
Doesn't even have to exist, Paul, to argue with it.
Huh. It's kind of a stretch to say we're better off without a touchdown a game.
What? Well, you have to weigh it against the other part.
Didn't I just argue with you in the hall at Patriot Place?
I think they'll make it up.
But you said the offense is better without Randy
Moss. Yeah, but I think
you
they'll make it up.
He did.
To say
Comcast
that they're better
Sportsnet,
without.
Thursday, 7:30, tune in and watch Paul fraud it up.
To say they're better without the touchdown is not the same as me saying I think they'll make up for
the offense
of Moss.
Will be fine. Don't worry.
I didn't say just, you know, because.
Blind faith. We just go blind faith.
Why?
No, that argument all depends on how much you give credence to her negative influence part of that email. I mean, if you really think he's that.
There was no negative influence on the scoreboard.
I was just going by the email of a touchdown less is better.
No, but she's weighing that against what he could possibly do to blow the team up.
I want to take this opportunity to point out to my good friend, No Sox, who has walked into the studio. Tim Graham, Matt. AFC East blogger for ESPN.com has the Patriots sixth in his NFL power rankings. Is that a contender?
I don't know.
Sixth best team in football? Contender?
I just saw two ESPN power rankings, ESPN.com.
Right, top five.
And Schlereth top five.
Right, not Patriots, but sixth was the Patriots.
Okay.
So is that a contender?
I would think so, yeah.
So why should we be stunned that they're favored at home over another contender?
I think what I said was surprised, and I think the reason why I said surprised was because they larruped them last year, and they appear to be better this year.
Now, don't the Patriots?
I think the Patriots are. It's a big gap to overcome. Surprised that they were a 3-point pick. If the game had been a pick 'em, Fred, throw me a lifeline here. A pick 'em or a 1-point favorite? Are you surprised that they're 3-point favorites?
A little bit, I am.
Yeah,
three. Okay.
Have you jumped ugly with Fred yet today about it?
Absolutely.
Or you just want to pick on me?
No, absolutely.
That's fine.
We led the show with
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I'm a little bit surprised.
You were also surprised to find out that people had the Patriots as the sixth best team in football.
Not at this point, no. Because
all I was pointing out was that people are considering the Patriots now as to be a contender.
I only look at
and
Karen
why
Garishian's
a contender
power
would be
a surprising
favorite at home.
Karen Garishian has had the Patriots at around 10 consistently through the season.
Okay, but what are they now?
I don't know. I haven't
Six.
Looked at hers this week. Karen Garigian.
You know what? They were ninth.
Nine.
They were ninth this week.
Nine. So they moved up one.
Well, let's see what they are now is my point.
Well, let's see what they are now.
ESPN, ESPN who hates us, right? ESPN hates us.
Right.
They have a sixth.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sixth.
Does it
I'd hate to see what would happen if they
the Patriots
us.
Had the benefit of not playing this weekend because it was a bad weekend of football.
Right. I would agree with that assessment.
Does it generate a lot of emails, serious questions, does it generate a lot of emails and a lot of calls as to where the Patriots rank in the power rankings after week five?
No,
I did get made fun of today, Matt, for being a homer.
Five. Right.
If you can believe that, I got made fun of today for being
a
homer.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll wear that as a badge of honor today. For first time since 2001, anybody called me a homer.
Randy in Houston says, thanks
homer.
For getting different commercials. The old ones were getting very old and annoying. So we had an email last week about...
First time you've ever said that to me, Andy.
It's the first time you've done a good job.
you deserved it.
6 months.
And to bolster Paul's point, Brian just writes in, Sports Illustrated has the Pats 5 in their power rankings.
There's another bunch of Yahoos that are only Patriots fans, I guess, that think the Patriots are Super Bowl contenders.
Aaron in North Attleboro, love the show, been listening for quite a while, never miss a show. I can't wait to see this week's game, however. I have a problem. I'm going to the New York City.
New York City.
This weekend, and I need a place to watch the game. Do you guys or any of the other listeners know where I can go to watch it?
Yes.
Here's
my friend
what you
Dave.
Do.
He's got a nice apartment.
But here's what you do. Aaron, you go on to Patriots.com, and you go into the fan zone, and you look up the registered fan club registry.
Offenders.
There's plenty on there, believe you me.
You go into the fan club registry and just sort it by New York, and you will find bars in New York that are Patriots bars, I guarantee you. I know there's one right in Manhattan.
Professor Tom's?
So why don't you name it if you know it?
I don't know the name.
Oh. I don't know the name.
It's one of those Irish, like Murphy's or O'Callaghan's or, you know. And anyone, no matter what your ethnicity, if you want to open up a bar outside of New England, you want New Englanders to go, give it an Irish name, and you'll get New Englanders.
You have to put your hand up. That's when you
racist,
do that.
You know, O'Callaghan's or
Sully's.
Yeah, Sully's.
Good rule of thumb. Keep that in mind.
Fred, you making fun
Sully,
of the Irish
Sully, 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 and Obie.
What's that, Ed Kevin?
You making Ed fun Kevin, of the Irish Ed Kevin?
No, I'm just saying that that seems you to know be the way
rule.
To... You know.
You know the rule,
yeah, it's
Phil.
Only Italians
if you're
going to
make fun of ethnicity, it can only be Irish and Italians. Anybody else will be offended, and you'll be shot by the PC police.
TG and NJ Pauly, where do Fragile. Big Ben and Philip Rivers and Eli
that
land in your tier system?
Yeah, my second tier, absolutely.
Second tier.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't put them up with Brady and
see Rivers and
Brady,
and
Manning,
Big Ben
and Brees.
Are interesting in that second tier because they're two very different numbers wise. Big Ben stinks. Well, doesn't stink, well, but is not comparable to Philip Rivers, who has ridiculous numbers. But has never been able to get over the choke hump.
Exactly.
Hey, Kevin.
And that holds him back. You know, in fairness to Eric's point about the rings, that does hold Rivers back.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Incion's been trying to call. He said the line's been busy. I know it has been. But he's organizing the San Diego away game trip and tailgate party.
Okay.
So if he calls in, you know, let him promote his thing.
That's the week of the game with the greats too, isn't it, Fred?
So Barry,
I'd be happy that I haven't heard him obviously because
no, every time he calls, the line's busy.
Game with the greats.
So maybe you can set up an appointment, Barry, with Kevin, and you can get your call in. let's see. Luca writes in. I don't know about
Rossi.
Yeah,
you are so predictable.
I don't know about all that optimism from you. I think the Ravens are going to crush us.
There it is. Don't get the hopes up. We're going to get crushed.
I usually agree with Andy, but boy, you are wrong. The D stinks. Yes, it will get better, but not enough. And this week, they're going to run all over us. I saw enough in Miami in the beginning of the game that I know we can't stop the run.
Andy, you know what it is?
Can't stop the pass either right now. I didn't say the numbers backed up my belief. I just said I have a belief they're going to get better.
Andy, you know what it is? Which is too positive.
Wait a minute. Stats are for losers.
You're a homer, Paul.
Says that. Stats are for losers. I just have a gut feeling.
And people can't handle Andy and Paul being positive.
Right. It's like they're
it's like the whole time-space
now.
Continuum has been disrupted. I'll get back to my normal self next week.
So you're picking the Chargers.
Who are we playing next week?
Chargers.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And Kevin,
I forgot who we were playing.
Kevin says to Paul, please tell me how ESPN hates us.
Go yourself, San Diego.
Is that a serious question?
I don't know.
It states back from the Tom Jackson thing from 03 where he said they hate their coach. And
right.
The Teddy Bruschi.
Bill told him to go bleep himself and hasn't really been a very rosy relationship since.
They often pick the Patriots, though.
I know.
Was, what, 5-3 in Miami?
5-3.
Yeah. We'll end the show with Harry and Marilyn's email. A lot of Paul emails.
Because I think they're stunned that I think the Patriots are going to win Sunday.
Paul, I was really upset at your comment last week that the Pats had no chance to win the Super Bowl. I was not upset at your objectivity. But you're giving up
wrong.
Too soon. As a fan, I believe my team has a chance to win it all until they are mathematically eliminated.
That's
most fans are the same, or half the country would stop watching the NFL after Week 8. We don't stand around water coolers giving up on the season. We discuss how we think the team can overcome its weaknesses and get into the playoffs. I listened to Tuesday's show hating every word you said because of a veil of distrust. I was very happy to hear you recant your prediction near the end of the show. It can be difficult to change your stance in such a testosterone-driven environment, but I applaud you for it.
Yeah, I don't think I... recanted it,
gay.
Yeah,
I don't think I recanted
during the show that particular show. But after watching the games this past week, I've recanted.
It's funny, the Patriots didn't play, and they went from not being able to win a Super Bowl.
They went
to
up like six notches. Absolutely.
Okay.
How many teams have one loss? Can I get a definitive number there?
A bunch.
The Steelers, Ravens, Jets,
Bears. Buccaneers,
Bears,
Chiefs,
Falcons.
Chiefs.
So you're looking at about eight teams with one loss. The Patriots are one of them.
Yeah, that's eight.
Not half the league, Freddie.
All right, well that's gonna
half
be...
the league is 3-2.
Okay, well that's gonna
a quarter
still
of the
arguing.
League.
No, but my only point would be
you said something wrong and I corrected you. That's an argument.
The best Patriots game is fresh in your memory from 2 weeks ago.
He's
and
just
they
showing off of the KSP
show you
guys.
The flaws. The next week. They didn't play. Everybody else had the opportunity to show you flaws, and yet you've deemed the Patriots now a Super Bowl contender.
I think that they belong in the conversation, yes.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And I left some emails for John Rook, who's coming up next. One is a missive about the importance of Eric Scalavino to this whole operation. So I'll leave that for you guys to talk about.
Dismissive. It's an encyclical from
right,
the Pope.
See you tomorrow.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.